listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I met this girl when I was 10 years old, and what I love most, she has so much soul. She was old school. When I was just a shorty, never knew throughout my life that she would be there for me on the regular. Not a church girl, she was secular. Not all about the money, no studs was mic checking her, but I respected her. She hit me in the heart. A few New York niggas had did her in the park, but she was there for me, and I was there for her. Pull out a chair for her, turn on the air for her, and just cool out and listen to her. Sitting on a bone, wishing that I could do eventually. If it was meant to be, then it would be, because we related physically and mentally, and she was fun then. I'd be geeked when she come around. Slim was fresh, yo, when she was underground, original, pure, untampered, a down sister. Boy, I tell you, I miss her. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tells podcast. Y'all's Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Saturday, ready to do some feedback.
We are.
Of course, this is the episode we talk about the things that you had to say, because you guys always have a lot to say about what we had to say throughout the week, and we want to respect that by giving you guys your own voice and a time that you guys can be heard, and that's what this time is for you. Okay, it's feedback time. How do you leave feedback? There's a bunch of ways. You can email us, theblackguytips@gmail.com. You can leave us voicemails at 704-557-0186, which I just realized I did not check. I'll try to bring it up during the show. You can also email us, theblackguytips@gmail.com. You can leave comments on the website, theblackguytips.com. And we have polls on the website where you can vote in the poll. So that's another cool way to do it. You can also just give to the show. You can go to theblackguytips.com on the front page. There's a little place where you can give. It just says on the right hand side, like, would you like to the show or whatever. You can pick like a one-time donation, you can do multiple recurring donations, you can do whatever option you want. And in exchange for that, we give you a little shout out on the show, and that's what this segment is about to be. Let me play my shout out song. Kurt.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
New day, new money. Cal K, thank you for your recurring donation. We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Autumn W, thank you, Autumn, for your recurring donation as well. Okay, it is needed. Joy M, we thank you, Joy, for your recurring donation. Damian Jackson,
ooh,
I am for real, recurring donator. Thank you. Damian R, right after him. Bambi, Dr. Bambi hooked us up. I heard her on Randolph's podcast, The Woke Files. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, y'all fucking freeloaders at Three Guys On, so you haven't heard
Hashtag
it.
Gang gang.
Gang gang, guys. I don't know what that life's like.
Neither.
Monique S, return donator. Thank you very much. Jason F, we appreciate you. Donna N, thank you very much for your recurring donation. Pamela A B, same to you. Thank you. Kevin W, appreciate you, Kevin. Our girl Falcons Diva with the recurring donation. Felicity F, thank you so much. Derek W, thank you, Derek. B Coleman, we appreciate you. Lawrence C, thank you, Lawrence. Donna N, thank you very much, Donna. Noel W, thank you, Noel. Grace N, thank you, Grace. Zachary N, no relation, but thank you as well. Linwood C, we appreciate you. Keebit R, thank you, Keebit. And that is everybody. Appreciate y'all for donating.
Today's a new day. Tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I'm almost evil, of my power that I can't explain.
Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like a shower. And
now, I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still,
I smile.
Come on.
Even though it hurts me, I smile.
Y'all feel that?
I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
still,
I smile.
Hallelujah.
I smile. It's so hard to look up when you look down. I sure would hate to see you give up now. You look so much better when you smile. Smile for me.
Just the tenors.
Yeah, just smile.
Not the Bedtones. All right.
The Sopranos.
All right, we got 5-star reviews this week on iTunes and one on Stitcher.
Yes, 5 stars.
Yes. Game of Thrones brought me here. Rod and Karen kept me here by what's a new so-called, wait, what's a new social media app? Okay, got it. It's no spaces, so it's all one word. So what's a new social media app? My girlfriend found you guys through the Viceland interview and immediately fell in love with your Game of Thrones reviews. You guys both do a great job of breaking down the episodes and add just my kind of humor. We both now listen to your podcast whenever they come out and hold that special level of excitement for your Wednesday show. Oh,
thank you.
You know what? That's the goal.
Welcome, right? To the fold.
Like, that's the goal, right? That's why we let Vice come in our house, is to hopefully somebody new will see it and be like, not just for the Game of Thrones things, not that there's anything wrong with those people, but let's be honest, many people just dig our Game of Thrones reviews. They don't really give a fuck about our opinions or anything else. Mm-hmm. They might not find us that great for other things, but
right,
you know, and they have their season and they'll be gone in 2 weeks or whatever, but it's really to hopefully catch people slipping that are like, yo, I kind of need to fill this hole in my life. I never heard nothing like this on any of the days, not just Game of Thrones,
right?
But
just a regular ass day.
Yeah, so I'm glad to hear that is having that effect, because that's the whole point.
And shout out to girlfriend.
Yeah, shout out, long time listener by BTR, like Betterment without the vowels. I've been listening for almost 5 years, and I'm finally leaving a review. And I noticed it's 5 stars. Thank you. Judge me, LOL. No judgment after you leave a review, baby.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. After you leave a review, you are in the judgment free zone.
Mm-mm. Judgment is for the sinners.
Come on.
That come up in here every week and they don't give no tithes.
I toss it in the sea of forgetfulness. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. No, guilt is for the people that don't put down on this.
Mm-mm.
You put down, you don't gotta feel guilty.
No, you don't. You is free as a bird, baby. Fly away.
Great show, and my day isn't complete if I don't listen. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Where y'all been all my life? 5 stars by Ken Alexander. I think Ken Alexandra. For the last season of Game of Thrones, I went on a quest for black recaps. Our perspective is obviously unmatched. No disrespect to all the other quality content I found, but y'all are my faves. I thought I was just going to be here for Thrones, but my work days have been feeling never ending, and y'all's consistent drops of content reel me in. Hey, we got another one.
Hey.
We just trying to catch these fiends. That's
right.
It. Now I can see myself regularly asking, wonder what Ryan and Karen talking about today. I say all that to say, keep up the good work. Much love from SCAC. So, sound like a South Carolina person.
Thank you.
Or as they say in South Carolina, Sakalana. Well, the black people say it. I don't know if white people say it, but black people be like, where you from? Sakalana. Now that my tax return hit, I got 5 on it.
Ow.
5 stars by Nicole Esquire, who says, I've been listening to your show for over a year now, and I'm ashamed to say I haven't reviewed the show. After the feedback show a few weeks ago, when Karen shamed me by saying y'all didn't receive any 5-star reviews that week, I knew I had to take some time out and write this review. I absolutely love your show. I love the segments, the games, the Game of Thrones reviews. I love it all. Thank you for everything you do. Next stop, premium. Hey,
thank you, baby.
Yeah, I hope you get the premium. We got a lot of good stuff over there behind the paywall as well.
Ooh, it's a lot of plenty of stuff back there.
We just did Balls Deep and the pregame with Justin yesterday.
We reviewed Pokemon
Detective Pikachu Thursday night. So, you know, we always got a little something over there brewing, and we appreciate y'all to put in on that. And then lastly, we got 1 5-star review over at Stitcher. Now you need to go to stitcher.com on like a computer, a laptop, something like that,
yeah,
to
can.
Leave a 5-star review. You just can't do it from your phone.
Mm-mm.
I don't know why, but you can't.
Right. Doesn't make sense.
They'll let you leave a comment on an episode, but they won't let you actually leave a 5-star review unless you get on a laptop or a computer. Maybe a tablet. I'm not sure, but definitely a laptop or computer. 5 stars. Put her in the book. Sadly, put her in the book. That's their name. That's a great name.
A good name.
Put her in the book. Oh my God. I feel like Put Her in the Book definitely has some racial overtones to it, but I try to stay out of that section of Pornhub. The second greatest thing,
I don't know if it's a good thing or bad thing, but you get down there, you get lost. You'll be like, what is happening? How did I get here?
Mm-hmm. The second greatest thing since pancakes. So to be honest, it's in the premium section that this show shines. When I thought the free show couldn't be better than pancakes, I went premium. Dang it, it's better than pancakes. It's nearly as good as the pancakes with ice cream and hot cloudberry jam. Karen and Ron keeps it fresh, entertaining. All their regular occasional guests make the premium worth it twice over. Makes you think, makes you laugh, makes you cry. Thanks for keeping me sane, laughing, and still evolving, fam. Love y'all. Oh,
thank you.
Thank you, Put Her in the Book.
Put Her in the Book.
I'm sorry, that name. I'm not mature. I love it. Oh,
I'm not mature.
Put Her in the Book. I feel like if you Wikipedia that shit is like, during slavery, the white man used to make the black people put the women in the book. Mm-hmm.
Or they be like, women put these costumes on and they like to be dressed in as bucks.
I know it's got some type of weird sexual connotation, I'm sure. Alright, so, 1892, Hook Like Crack Honey was, the feedback episode. We got 3 comments and we got, a couple comments in the poll as well. Let's do the feedback comments first. So Heavyweight says, in regards to Jay-Z's freestyle, I feel like the lines about crabs in a barrel directly contradicts the idea that Jay-Z is advocating for taking advantage of the poor. We can easily get out of the barrel if we stand on each other's backs. Whoever gets on top, as long as they stay attached, they gonna pull everybody out. I was just doing that. To me, that's laying out the plan for the rich and the upper class that got there, standing on the shoulders of those that came before them, reaching back and pulling up those less fortunate. And I genuinely feel like the good work Jay-Z has been doing for years now should dictate giving him the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, succinctly summed up what takes me forever to get around to saying, but that's basically how I feel in short is, you know, and then I think this will be a theme for this feedback episode, but I just think there's people that see the worst in folks and they can't help it, and they're just going to always be like, this is the most sinister way to take it, and that's how I'm gonna take it. And there's people that don't. And Jay-Z, and it's really dependent on the person and how they feel about the individual speaking, because honestly, if Nipsey Hussle had the exact same freestyle a year ago, shit, he might have. It wouldn't have got that kind of flack. Mm-mm. You know? Let's see. Anonymous, of course, my fave, says, one of the things I really struggle with this podcast is just how General Rod speaks on things when it comes to social media. He constantly points out the flip-flops of people on social media to an almost exhaustive extent, but as a listener, it's not really even clear what he is talking about, that he is talking about the same people. Just general opinions from certain demographics. There have been multiple episodes that have grinded to a halt so Rod can talk about different opinions on social media. It's not that these things aren't valid things to point out, but the point always ends up being that people are one way about this and another about that. When it comes to the Jay-Z critiques, a lot of what I saw was a discussion of why capitalism will not save us as a people. Well, I guess that's the only way to feel about it. I'm surprised that you would listen to a feedback show of a show that's consistently grinded to a halt. Listen, far be it from me to brag, but I feel like you might like how we do it over here. You might like how Daddy does it. You might. Feedback episodes is for the real fans. This ain't no real bullshit. Like, if you will listen to a feedback show, then you fuck with us. And I want you to know something, Anonymous. You don't need to be anonymous. Just put your name on it. It's cool. I'm gonna read your comment anyway. I mean, I know you was trying to be sassy and spicy with the whole grind the show to a halt, exhaustive extent. I get the passive aggressive. I speak passive aggressive.
I speak it.
Okay. I was born to this. Okay. I was raised in the dark. Okay. But, as far as what you're saying, there was a few things that I wanted to point out because, obviously this anonymous comment, shady as it is, you know, is trying to get to some legitimate critiques. So there's 5 things. Number 1, a listener asked a question about Jay-Z and I was responding to it, so that's why I wouldn't say that. I mean, maybe you felt it was ground to a halt, but I will always thoroughly answer a question on the podcast if you write into us, because that's why our podcast is so much doper than most people's podcasts, because they don't give a fuck what y'all think.
Mm-mm.
And we do, we care. So if you write in to say, well, this is how I took it, I'm not obligated to then just be like, well, I guess that's the only way to feel. I get to respond and be like, well, this is how I vibed off of that too. We don't have to agree. We can disagree or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's my platform. It's Karen's platform. We will always have the last word by the nature of what the fuck we do, you know? So yeah, if grinding to a halt is answering something thoroughly or discussing something like that, that's cool. So that's number one. It didn't come out of nowhere. I talked about Jay-Z on Tuesday and I was done with the shit. But the feedback is for y'all to be able to do it. Guess what's happening right now? We talking about it again. If you don't want us to talk about it, you probably shouldn't write in about the same shit, because we're going to talk about it again. Number two, I follow the same people on social media all the time and I curate my list, so I'm literally talking about the same people who praise Jay-Z, Nipsey, and were going at Jay-Z's neck for this freestyle, because I don't see everybody. I just see the people I fuck with. Like, I just have my settings on there, so it's like, the only time I see somebody that I don't fuck with on social media is if people are retweeting somebody into my timeline. So literally, when I'm talking about it, I'm talking about the same people. Now, I may not get into their specific names, but that's just to keep it from being messy. So we'll get to that point in point four. That's right. I'm thoroughly grinding the show to a halt because I'm thoroughly answering your question. Number three.
Mm-hmm. And our social media experience is different, and mm-hmm. that's very hard. That's a very hard concept for people to grasp.
And it's just mine, right? I'm just giving you my opinion. Like, one of the things I find interesting is, like, when you listen to a podcast, because I listen to podcasts. I am a much more avid podcast listener than 99% of people that listen to us.
Correct.
I understand that those are individual people's opinions. So as many as I listen to, I very rarely interact or reach out or comment or email or anything to podcasts if I have a dissenting opinion, because they're entitled to their fucking opinion.
Yes, they are.
And honestly, they're just giving their opinion. They're one person. They're not any more important than me. I'm not any more important than them. They don't have to arrive to the same conclusions. And the beauty of it is sometimes you watch people grow and learn and come to different conclusions. Shit, we do all the time.
Yeah, I've seen several people do that.
Information changes, and then sometimes we're like, yo, I felt this way and now I feel a different way. The only real deal we have with the audience is that we are going to try to be entertaining, and that's it. So yeah, you know, I'm okay with people not having the same social media experience as me, but I didn't see people just talk about capitalism and why capitalism won't save us. I saw it specifically as a slight to Jay-Z. And you know, and if it sparked off of Jay-Z's conversation, then you can't say it is not about Jay-Z, because if someone else would have said the same comment, like I said, you're not starting. When Nipsey said it constantly, it wasn't capitalism won't save us. It was different for him. Number three, even the idea of launching it, well, we kind of got to it. Even the idea of launching into a conversation about capitalism rather than directly talking about Jay-Z and his freestyle is proof that people care more about Jay-Z being the one who brought it up. When it was Nipsey, it was universally praised about the block, help your fellow black folks living there. Right? And Nipsey put this constantly in a lot of his music. Number four, I keep it to general opinions because I don't want to go on our show and name specific people's names.
Mm-mm.
Because that would only be messy and cause more problems. So instead, I talk in general sentiment and tone of conversations from my perspective. Based on who you choose to follow on social media, you'll have a different experience than I do.
Correct.
Very simple. And number five, most importantly, thank you for listening. Appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see. We had the poll. Have you ever tried crack? Yes or no? Karen?
Mm-mm.
Karen has not tried crack.
Mm-mm, I told y'all them dead programs. I was the kid that was like, no to drugs.
All right. 1% of people in our audience have tried crack. 99% have not.
I was scared.
Monique says, I'm praying enough.
Still am. Oh, go ahead.
Still are.
Still am.
Yeah, do.
They said I'm like, is it prescribed? Then no.
Yeah, they made crack sound better than sex, and I was like, if something is better than sex, I definitely don't want to fuck with that.
Yeah, and
like you can fuck up your whole life just off of sex.
And I'm a square too. Like I am 100. I don't know where you get it. I don't know the slang names. I'm like a little grandma. What the fuck is that? What is it called? And I'm scared the police gonna come arrest me just from being around it. So I'm like, get away. I'm one of them people that's like, get away from me, because I don't want to be no accessory and I'm just floating by. I know police bust in and everybody going to jail. They don't give a fuck if you knew or didn't know. No, get that shit away from me.
Karen living in the beginning of that Stevie Wonder song.
They got me good.
Just enough for the city.
I watched the first 48. They be like, I don't know. They be like, bitch, I don't care. You was in the facility that you locked up to. I go to jail. It's going to be on my own accord. It ain't going to be because you put me there.
You having a whole nightmare over there. You okay?
For real. I'm sorry.
You grinding the shoulder to a halt right now.
Well, damn it, it got to stop.
the comments, Monique says, I'm praying the number stays at 100% because bitch. Smiley face, it's a 39 votes thus far. Even the thought of crack is terrifying to me. I grew up on a block in Brooklyn where the broken crack vials used to be visible on the concrete. Just thinking about it makes me really sad, and that was my reality. But we made it through that drug dependency free. Blessings to those that weren't as fortunate makes you grateful. Let me tell you something.
Agreed.
Let me tell you something. Not to get too deep on this, but y'all realize that most of our aversion to crack is knowing that with black people is the tightrope that we're walking, and it leads to essentially your death, not just from drugs or drug overdose, but I mean like prison incarceration, homelessness, you know, financial instability.
You know
what's fucking with crack right now? The motherfucking oxycodone ass white people.
Come on.
Like, they shit strong as crack.
Meth.
Yeah, they out here on them pills fucked up, man. And it's crazy because, like, the stigma's totally different because it's not a punitive approach. Like, we're scared, like, the quote unquote good kids, we're scared of crack because you were scared. Like, it wasn't like you said, I'm morally better or I'm going to do this because I'm a... No, we were scared of prison, scared of jail, scared of our parents, you know, losing everything, stealing stuff, scared of financial instability. Like, we didn't just... It wasn't just the DARE program. It was also the fear of, as it being a black drug, you were going to, like, throw your whole life away. White people are not scared of these motherfucking prescription pills and shit that they doing, dog, because it's just totally different.
And guess what? The face of it changes. You get the commercials to have compassion. The motherfucking laws, they changed.
Yeah, you just don't got to be scared, though, because the law is about how do we save and get these kids, these white kids off of drugs. With black people, is how do we throw these crackheads in jail and get them away from the neighborhood? You know, it's crazy, man, but that's why we really was feeling, that's why the fear Karen just expressed, that's where it comes from, because drugs are so, I mean, if you think about drugs, are supposed to be a good time. Like, I got high, it was fun, right? People talk about cocaine, we don't go, cocaine, like, we don't do it like that, you know, weed, get the weed from around me, oh my God. Like, we don't do that shit. We do it for crack. You know what I mean? Not even heroin do we do it. And heroin fucked up the black community just as bad, if not worse, especially during the 70s and shit. It's coming back. Like, but we don't have that stigma around heroin because you don't get your whole life thrown away over a little bit of heroin. Crack, nigga, they catch you with like a rock. They're like, death, nigga, get the fuck out. You're never coming back to where you live. Like,
right.
Wow.
So, like I said, and honey, they caught me with the fear because I'm like, nigga, no.
Yeah. Really Dark Knight says, dog, I just knew this was gonna be 100% poll. That smile went off my face quick fast, nigga. What? EVE says, crack is whack. And Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, I got questions for the 1% that said yes. Are you okay? Did you get addicted? Can I pray for you? Yeah, I do wish I could interview somebody like, yo, what was that crack like? Because that's the thing, man. A lot of the stuff we think around crack is just complete stereotypes too. Like,
right,
it's so addictive, it'll make you'll be sucking dick by Tuesday. They were functioning crackheads and shit.
Yes. When I worked at this restaurant, one of the food prep people, she wasn't on it anymore, but she was a functioning crackhead. And she would tell, you know, she would openly talk about it. She was like, no, I don't do it no more. She said, but yes, I function. I kept a job. I went to work every day. I paid my bills. I was never homeless, but I was on that shit.
Mm-hmm. I worked with a woman that was on crack and worked at McDonald's with me. She was a manager. She was all over the place. All right, we had episode 1893, The Black King of England. Got some comments here. Sim Simma says, I barely made it 10 minutes in and I laughed so hard at the dead squirrel eating couple. How do you eat wild Mongolian squirrel and buy plane tickets? Rod tried to kill me. This show is the best part of my Monday. Let me go enjoy the rest of this episode. Y'all are the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shara says, so about the mayor who had the cops called on him. There's a long history of political misconduct in Mount Vernon, New York. The former mayor, Ernie Davis, pleaded guilty to tax evasion charges while he was in office. The current mayor, mentioned in your segment, was arrested in March on corruption charges. I'm not really fucked with at all about the cops being called on his ass. And then someone, Elise writes in, I used to work for the local paper in Westchester. I always thought that the mayor looked like a great value Drake. Love, Anonymous. Just kidding, Elise. Damn. Like I said, I could just, my senses went off. I could tell something was up with that nigga. Andrea says, listen, when Rod hit that save note from Smallville theme song, oh, somebody save, yeah, I fucking lost it. Great show as always, fam.
Thank you.
But Mill says, there were two stories you discussed where I agreed the right thing happened, but I still feel fucked with. First was the cop that shot the lady who called 911 in Minnesota. Did you know that the prosecutor, when faced with the officer's testimony that he saw something moving in the alley that looked threatening, asked, what's so threatening about blonde hair and a pink shirt? Ooh, I did not know that. If that had been a black woman, they would have not asked that question because niggers are naturally threatening. So it's understandable that the cop killed Philando Castile, and it's understandable that the cop killed Mike Brown, because we are barely civilized beasts that will inflict pain and violence without a moment's notice. I do think the cop needs to go to prison, because there's this attitude amongst police in the U.S. that the most important part of their job is going home safe at the expense of everything else.
Come on.
Not a duty to protect and serve the public, but to make sure nothing happens to them, the officer. This attitude seems to provide cover for all manners of transgressions. I slammed the 14-year-old to the ground and emptied my service revolver into him because he presented a threat. And at the end of the day, I need to get home to my family. This case fucks with me because we are yet to see the same level of accountability when the victim is black. Yeah, yep, pretty obvious. I did not know about that, the judge saying that shit, though. Jesus. The second is Louis Farrakhan. I actually think it's good that Facebook banned this nigga. He's always saying some hateful shit about gay people and about women and Jews. It isn't lost on me that white evangelicals spout the same hateful rhetoric and are allowed to flourish on the platform. They should also be booted. It's kind of like the Cosby situation. If he hadn't tried to buy NBC, white America would have ignored his history of sexual assault and he would be a free man today. I'm kidding. I know he wasn't trying to buy NBC, but my point is just that there's a history of black men being falsely accused of violating white women by looking at them. Doesn't mean that Cosby isn't a piece of shit rapist. Applied to Farrakhan, just because he can wax eloquently about racial injustice doesn't belie the fact that he would seek to ignore and vilify a large swath of the black community because of their sexuality. Yeah, the thing with Farrakhan that was the only part that bothered me was that you just know that they're going to keep, like, some hateful white supremacist racist preachers who are just mainstream preachers on those platforms. That's all. That's the only thing that bothered me, honestly. I am not here to make Louis Farrakhan the victim when I really do think he says some really messed up things, and not just agree to disagree shit, but things that I feel like, you know, any religious leader that practices in those things, I just could not follow. But you guys know that about me. I've never really been able to fuck with religion in general because of that. I just can't understand you walk into this room every Sunday or Saturday or whenever you worship, and there's just a chance that this guy's gonna just talk about, you know, gay people's humanity as if they're just less than human. They're gonna talk about Jewish people. They're gonna talk about women who are mostly the people who go to these churches and keep them afloat. You know, they're gonna just shit on these people in their faces like, you ain't shit. And whatever that impulse is that makes people want to come back for that or want to believe in something that would allot for that, I don't have it, you know, and I don't want to have it, to be honest. Like, if that's what God's work is, then I don't really want to mess with it. And the difference is, in the Black community, church was one of the few places we were allowed to congregate without supervision. And
yes, it was.
And so historically, the Black church and Black worship houses has been so important and synonymous with revolution, with organizing, with boycotting, things of this nature. And you know, Chicago and the Nation of Islam are no strangers to that. I mean, that's a huge power base for a lot of Black people. But I just think everything has a time, and maybe it's time to, for me, I don't feel the sentimentality of needing to hold on to it. And I get that there's a lot of Black people, and specifically straight Black men, that would be like, nah, this is worth preserving, even with it being messed up, because at least it's some level of a foothold to power. And maybe there are Muslim people that feel that way too, American Muslim people, I don't know, but I don't share that opinion, and I don't know. I don't see the significance of him having a platform, when I just think that some of the things he does is just, it's so bad. I don't know how anyone can ignore it. And like, I don't see how this can be you just take the good situation. Like, those are some pretty fucked up things to be talking about. And you know, you can't have it both ways, where you go, he's not a powerful figure, and then give him credit for all this work that he's done in the Black community. Nah, then he is a powerful figure then. He might not be powerful enough to say, kill all the Jews and then Black people just start killing Jewish people. You hope. But that doesn't mean that he has no power and no, like, why are they picking on this poor old man? Like, he's somebody. He's somebody, you know, and this is part of the deal with associating with him and shit. And then, of course, the other part that bothers me is, when it comes to this kind of shit, the people that are moderating these websites, they think these things are equal. And yes. And as much as I think Louis Farrakhan should be taken off of there, I don't equate him with Alex Jones. So they think, you know, like, oh yeah, we're taking Alex Jones off and Louis Farrakhan. I'm thinking, nah, taking Billy Graham Jr. off and Louis Farrakhan is much more in line to me.
Yeah, as far as being on the same level. Yes.
Yeah, that's much more in line. And so to know that Farrakhan's gone and those religious type of, like, bigots, essentially, 700 Club motherfuckers, Pat Robertson is going to still, when is he going to die? Anyway, it's still going to be on there.
He's been alive forever.
Yeah, that's the part that bothers me. That's the part. Like, and I feel y'all if y'all are bothered by that too. But I'm just trying to be open and transparent, and I'm not going to get on here and fake the funk on some, you know, Black people, we just got to fight for this. Nah, I understand if you, I don't feel like fighting for this. They can have them. On a separate note, this bubonic plague mess makes me realize how fragile our modern world is. Some douchebag decides to eat a wild rodent in Mongolia and exposes a plane full of people to the motherfucking Black Death, the bubonic plague. Also, why it's gotta be the Black Death, huh? Emil. Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, I've never been in the wild, but I do live in NYC. We got squirrels, rats, and pigeons that I'm positive would kill me if I walk too close to them. So I'm sure as fucking hell know that ingesting that those nasty motherfuckers will take me smooth out. If I had to choose between zombie apocalypse or dying from eating a squirrel, it's gonna be death by zombie. I heard they ate it raw too. I did laugh my ass off when you said that white people would get vaccinations if they thought the lack of them would turn them Black. Yep, you know it would.
they would kick us over to right. Get to it.
You know, there's a 1% chance your child will just turn into a Black kid around 15 years old if you don't get this vaccination. They'll be like, give me that shit. Well, it also has a 50-50 chance of giving your child autism. I don't care about that anymore. I just don't want to be a nigger.
Come on, all of a sudden attitude would change.
If a bartender overserves a mass shooter, should they be punished? Yes or no, Karen?
Yeah, I mean, because it's a catch 22. I understand. Put it like this. If you're going to have a law that states that the bartender is held accountable, the law shouldn't be the bartender. The restaurant should be held accountable, not the bartender. A bartender is the employee, which an extent, a bartender is an employee of a restaurant. The restaurant should be held accountable. If the restaurant was held accountable, you know what would be there? Bouncers or somebody to be sure that when the bartender says you've had enough, that bouncer would get them the fuck out of your restaurant. But because you're not holding restaurants accountable, you want to hold individual people accountable. Like, that's the problem that I have. Because my thing is this. You're talking about a lot of bartenders. You have men bartenders, but when you're talking about women bartenders, and you're telling a fucking grown ass man that could literally reach across the counter and choke you to death, no, you can't have something else to drink, and there's no barrier, there's nothing there to prevent him from lashing back at her, how should that person be held accountable?
Yeah, the thing for me is I don't think they should be held accountable, because we don't even hold the people that sold the mass shooter the gun accountable.
No, we do not.
And the gun is what actually kills people. Like, it just seems like a, just seems like some behind the, like some what do you call that shit, hindsight type of, like, let's punish them because this thing happened. Anyway, 83% of people say no, 17% say yes. Dr. Tiff says, I agree with you, Rod. Did he have on the I'm crazy as hell shirt? That is not her fault. There are people who say wild shit at bars all the time and nothing comes of it, but these gun laws, no need to change that. That's ridiculous. Yeah, it's also crazy because, like, he could have came in there every night and talked like that. It's the one night that he does something that's like, we need to get this bartender.
Right, so if he'd have came in there and blown her fucking head off, you'd have been an old poor bartender?
Yeah. Monique says, this episode was so necessary. Please don't apologize for how heavy these stories get. They're our reality, and it should slap us in the face. I shared with my sister that Freddie Gray's family received $6 million from Baltimore. Philando Castile's mother got a big settlement, and on and on. Yeah, she got like $2.1 million. But not only are the lack of convictions of the officers that kill black men not even shocking now, but the number in the settlement is often astounding. This woman's family was able to not only get a conviction because the cop was black, but also got a $20 million payout. That's just breathtaking. So what is black life really worth? The system isn't broken, it's purposeful, and every day we're seeing it. Thank you for putting the magnifying glass on that, truly, Monique. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amon says, I voted yes, but I wish there was a it depends option for the story y'all read. I would say no, but I could fathom a situation where they should be charged too for at least negligence, but she didn't seem like she was being willfully negligent. Yeah, well, see, what I think is funny is I do think this story meets the qualifications for that law. Cause she did text somebody like, yo, this motherfucker is tripping. Like, she had cognizance of the fact that he was tripping and might be about to do something, and she kept serving him drinks. My thing is this. I'm a bartender, not a police officer. I don't have a weapon. If a nigga is in my bar in a state where you can open carry and he's spinning knives on the table talking about what the fuck he gonna do, I'm literally gonna do what it takes to keep him happy and get him the fuck out of my restaurant forever. That's it. And especially if he's a regular or somebody, now he knows where I work, what I look like. If I cut him off and we have an altercation or something, he could come back any day and be like, I'm gonna fuck you up. You know, so I just think the level of, like, bravery and responsibility we're requiring from a fucking bartender is, this is not a guy who went out driving when you knew you were over serving him. You know what I mean? Like, this is something totally different than that. And I don't know how you predict a spree killer or mass killer. What if he just would have went home and beat his wife? Do I have to, is that on me? You know, it just seems too much about hindsight being 2020 of, well, if this wouldn't have happened, he wouldn't have did it. Like, we don't know that.
No, you don't. And also, it's one of those things, too. Let's say she would have, quote unquote, went to the manager. The fucking manager, odds are, would have said serve him anyway. Because even if they'd have said cut him off.
Right, but I'm saying, even if it's the manager, it don't matter who it is.
Right, it don't matter.
What would it matter who the fuck? We are talking about people getting killed by a gun in another mass shooting in a country that has just thousands of them at this point. What the fuck does it matter if he had too many beers? Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's like, let's focus on this so we don't focus on this epidemic level problem over here. Right. Are all the mass shooters drunk?
No.
So what the fuck does it matter that this guy was? It just doesn't matter. Really Dark Knight says, that cat was spinning a knife in the bar, according to that story. A knife? How did the police miss that part of the story where it was critical for her to not get cut up? That's her fault. That's not negligence. That's intelligence. Come on, buddy. Right, that's how I feel. And Brooklyn Shoebay says, I'm a librarian. I sit behind the desk to serve the public. If I'm in a prone position, someone comes in and is threatening, I'm going to fucking accommodate them until he leaves, and then I'll call the cops or whatever. And straight up, not to come off as too racist, but white guys are out there fucking tripping. What is the bartender supposed to do? Play the odds and cut off every white man behind the ages of 21 to 65 that has more than one drink? Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. All right, how's she supposed to stay in business? White people come in blowing off steam in bars, like, all the time. That's not a...
My nigga.
Like, let's not get carried away. Alright, so we had episode 1894, Black Executive Fan Fiction. I found out a lot of y'all are fans of this genre as well. Mm-hmm. It's not just me.
Mm-mm.
And I also found out some holes in my resume for Black Executive Fan Fiction that I need to go back and fill in, and I will. I already have on Netflix. I have Obsessed in my queue right now.
I haven't seen that either.
Okay. You know, gotta go support Beyonce.
We can watch
Beyonce.
That together.
Madam Butterfly says, I just like to quickly say, y'all's pauses when you read something wild or severely underrated. I don't be watching the crowdcast all the time, but I silently be shaking my head with y'all. Thank you. Mitchell S says, hey Rod and Karen, as always, I have to say I love the show and y'all are awesome. I love Black Executive Fan Fiction movies. When I don't feel like doing much on the weekends, I find myself watching a lot of movies on my Amazon Prime. I think Rod has a valid point about how the black characters have to do the most to keep what they have. They literally have to fight life and limb in a very egregious way, but in some aspects it is the reality we live in. In some cases, it's get rich or die trying, because depending on your career field, you could be the best and still won't be enough. Yeah, it's really like a whole diet. Like, I'm sure I could write a, like, long essay or some shit, like a chapter of a book that was just about Black Executive Fan Fiction and essentially how it's about capitalism will never give black people the American dream. Or, you know, you would have to give something up in order to do it. But who has the time? A few of my favorite Black Executive Fan Fiction movies include Obsessed with Idris and Beyonce, Daddy's Girls. Now, see, I'm questioning Daddy's Girls because I know it's like a Tyler Perry one. Is there like somebody trying to come and like fuck? Do he have to get violent to save the girls or something? Because if it's just like black people having a divorce spat or some shit, that don't count.
Mm-mm.
It only count if there's some sort of nebulous like threat to the black dream. That's when it count. If it's just like this nigga,
yes,
like
pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, like pursuit of happiness isn't one.
No.
Like, you gotta get stalked. Niggas gotta try to rob your house. Niggas gotta wanna, like, kidnap your kids or try to sex traffic you. It's gotta be some type of, like.
You can't die.
Yeah, well, obviously. I mean, well, you can die. You can die. I mean, somebody gonna live, but I don't watch plenty of people die in these movies, Karen. I've seen it. Shit. I think Traffic, Omar Epps died. Like, Paula Patton lived, but Omar Epps got his ass killed by them white folks. The Family That Prays, I feel like I saw that one. I think that's just Mm-mm. black people fighting about Mm-mm. like divorce and shit.
Yeah, I don't consider that one either.
And realistically, any other movie was Sanaa Lathan and Morris Chestnut. Now, there are a lot of those. But I just want y'all to know, not everything is Black Executive Fan Fiction. Because some of it is just black. I mean, they have some elements. I know what y'all saying. Like, they have good jobs. They have, this look like they just the job doesn't match the pay ever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what are you? Oh, I'm a internet advertiser, and that's why you just bought this $3.7 million Lamborghini straight cash.
Never even heard of this company
must
before.
Be some big time ads. Yeah, I'm a social media developer. Oh okay and so what does that pay, about $40,000? No, this is my all. I own all of this.
Like, this whole island is mine.
This is my island. Like, oh, okay, Black Executive Fan Fiction. So it does have elements of it. I'm not all the way Mm-mm. down, but I'm just saying the element is this threat, this existential threat that always has to happen in the movies. So
okay,
it's just black people in a rom-com, black people getting a divorce, black people splitting child custody, not the same unless one of them black people go crazy, try to kill the other one.
That's true. And yeah, sometimes they do die. Yes, I forgot. Yeah, they do die.
Cause like y'all said, they're always in these type of movies. This is why I love this podcast, cause y'all just get me. Y'all my people. LOL. Peace. Thanks, Mitchell.
Thank you.
Amar says, y'all, this episode had me in my feelings. Originally, I was going to leave a voicemail, but every time I got in the mood about what I wanted to say, I get so angry and bothered. It's my holy month of Ramadan for us Muslims, and we really try really hard not to get angry or cursed during this month. And if I left a voicemail about this Aisha Curry thing, I'd be angry and cursed. So hopefully y'all don't mind cursing and voicing my botheredness for me. If it is not too much trouble, could you read my comments as a mixture of an incredulous Millie Grant and indignant Leslie Jones? I don't even know what that would sound like, so no, but I will read it. Here they are. Everyone's acting like they don't understand what Aisha is talking about is a damn lie. They are either perpetrators of this blatant disrespectful bullshit or they're blind. But but even being blind is no excuse, because Ray Charles pulled mad bitches. Oh, he out here hummingbird ass niggas. I've peeped this game since I was 9. Women coming up to my dad in the store acting like they want to talk about his work or they were interested in becoming a foster parent. No, you're not, ho. You're interested, all right, and interested in breaking up my happy family, and he's only locally known. I can only imagine how bold some folks are when your husband is famous. And I believe her comments about another thing I want to bring up, because this also gets lost in the people that didn't watch the clip, and maybe I didn't mention it. Every last one of those women had stories about it.
Mm-hmm.
Jada had stories about it.
Yeah, they was all sharing.
Yeah, Sonya had stories about it. You can tell who didn't watch the clip or who just don't like Aisha Curry and isolated the clip to this woman is tripping. And it's like, well, all of them said that they were all talking about the same thing, which is these women that will just shoot their shot right in front of your face unless you insert yourself. And I believe her comments about not getting the same kind of attention was more about the hypocrisy of it all rather than being insecure. Well, she did literally say that she had an insecurity around it. You know, I think the hypocrisy of it maybe led to that or exacerbated that insecurity. You know, nothing wrong with being insecure, man. People, I really wish there were certain words I wish weren't such loaded terms. Like, people didn't use them as insults all the time.
Right.
Like, one of them is, and I had to watch my language around it, because I will say these things without feeling, because I feel like it's straightforward and that's the best description of my feelings, and then people will be like, no, don't say that. But insecure is one. Like, insecure is one word where I'm just like, yeah, I felt insecure about this, or, you know, or maybe you feel insecure around this, and people flinch up like, what the fuck? Like, you don't ever say I'm insecure. It's like, everybody is insecure about something,
because like you say, everybody has their own personal needs, and like you say, within relationships you might have certain things that you demand of your mate because of insecurities, and you know, and people don't want to admit that, but everybody has them in some way, shape, form, or fashion, whether you recognize it or not. It is there, baby.
Yeah, and so, you know, like I said, it's weird because in that segment, all these women are like, you got Jada talking about Will, like, yes, I went through this same thing. Like, you know, dating Will or being, you know, married to Will, being partners with Will, whatever phase of my relationship, I went through this too. Sonya Curry literally said she went through it too with Dale. That's her mother-in-law. She's right there. I don't know why people are acting like Aisha was at this table saying wild shit and everyone at the table was like, I can't, like, just running out of the room. Like, I can't believe the audacity. Like, it was a conversation that was open and honest in a room full of women that were sharing, and it just happened to be broadcast for the world. But, you know, I think, you know, her being open and honest about having an insecurity on the one side is drawing certain people to her that really weren't fucking with her in the first place, right? Cause it's like, well, I can relate to that. I think your other comments weren't things I agree with, but now I think it's brave of you to admit you're insecure, because nobody fucking does it anymore. Everybody's the perfect person. Everyone has a perfect avatar online, and especially when you consider what her brand is, it serves her in no way to come out and tell her she's anything less than a happy wife at home who is living the best life and feels great about herself every day she wakes up.
Right.
Because that's her brand. Like, her brand is to make you think about cooking and childcare and you know, all that type of stuff, motherly, womanly, like, advice, quote unquote. You know, we're talking, you know, like, she want to be that Martha Stewart type, but she had a moment of some real shit, and that always will derail, because we as Americans, as society, we not used to getting real shit from people we consider to be like commercial entities. And she took a step outside of the commercial entity for a second and said, yo, sometimes I'll be feeling sad. So like, she talks about having anxiety in that interview. Like, it's just crazy to me what people either A, didn't watch that interview and took from it, or they took from it after watching, which would be even more weird to me. because in the context I didn't find any of this to be so offensive. It's all steeped in misogyny, and like Karen said, the women are seen as property, and it's almost expected to or easily given if a man has a wandering eye or cheats. Unless his wife is equally or more famous than him, it's like that joke Chris Rock had about how if a guy sees another guy with a great woman, he goes, wow, she I need to find a woman like her. But if a woman sees a great man, she goes, wow, he's great, I need to get him. Ho, this isn't a group project. He's great because I did all this work. I'm great, therefore he's great now. He would not be him without me. Take me out of the picture and you'll just be left with a lump of clay I had to work with. That's why Olivia Pope messes up. That's why Olivia Pope messes up falling in love with Fitz's sad ass. You are a boy. You are a boy. That house, that's the house that Millie built. Okay, rant over. Sorry if I was all over the place with this. But many a woman knows what it's like to meet one of your husband's classmates, friends, associate, and you can tell they like him by how overly nice they are to you. They give you a big hug after looking you up and down. Their energy is all off compared to other women friends. The difference with me is I don't keep that to myself and try to be cute about it. I tell him right away, don't trust that girl, and I always been right. Love y'all, Amon. Yeah, like I said, man, I think people can at least relate to the situation, but I think when you don't like somebody, then it's easier to make them seem like the crazy person in the situation. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that there aren't people that overreact and are aggressive and jealous and possessive and all that stuff. I mean, it didn't sound like she was necessarily aggressive about it, but she's just like, I'm aware of it. You know, I'm not oblivious to the fact that motherfuckers are like literally shooting a shot at my man in my face, and I gotta just sit there and take it. Like, nah, sometimes I insert myself like, hey, this is mine, chill out. Evie says, Rye, you forgot to mention a Black Executive Fan Fiction Hall of Famer featuring our Lord and Savior Beyonce, Christ, and Idris Elba, Obsessed. That movie was so bad it was good. I love those types of movies because the plots are so ridiculously over the top, but it's good seeing Black people living the American dream in that big fancy house with the ambiguous jobs. Another good one is No Good Deed. I feel like I saw No Good Deed.
Who's that by?
I Google it. Why don't I feel like I saw? Oh, wait. I did. That's Taraji P. Henson, and then Idris knocked on her door, right? I wanted to see that one, and I don't think I saw it.
Mm-mm.
I think that's the one, yo. Is that the one in the chat room? What y'all, is that right?
I don't remember.
All right. Her husband had some kind of executive, was some kind of executive, and they lived in a huge house, and then Idris came. Oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. Idris came to fuck everything up. So glad they now have a category of their own. Yo, I did not know. Yo, I got to get into that.
I'm just laughing.
And lastly, Kimberly S. says, first, I want to say your show is amazing. It helps me process current events where it's not so heavy on my heart. Also, when I hear you guys laughing and celebrating, it feels like a win for me as well. Let me stop before I drop a couple thug tears. Keep doing what you're doing. You guys are great.
Thank you.
In my opinion, insecurity does not excuse misogyny. When Aisha Curry interrupted the reporter doing her job, that was sexual harassment. What? The reporter doing what job? Am I tripping? Was that? Let me Google this because we definitely didn't talk about that. In my chat room, y'all know what she's talking about?
I don't know. One period of time, she was going to have like a cooking show or something.
I don't know. Like, that definitely was a part of the discussion we had.
Mm-mm.
But I will look for it. I'll Google for it real quick so that we can talk about it too.
Mm-hmm.
Aisha Curry, female reporter, interviews Steph Curry as his wife swoops in. Okay. Maybe she cussed this woman out or some shit. I'll put it on screen so we all can watch together. I know Roz Gold. Man, that's a bad one. I don't know if y'all know her. She does the Warriors games. She is fine. let me see if I can find bring it on screen. It's just moving slow. But now I'm looking at the screen cap. I think I remember this, and I think I took from it what you took from it. I didn't see it as a sexual harassment, with this reporter. Cause it's not like she touched the reporter. She didn't say anything to her that was, I thought, out of line. I thought it was cute. It was, Steph, I think it was 2015. and it was Steph getting interviewed after the game, after winning this big game, and Aisha came up and kissed him on his shoulder, just like a little, like, you know, little quick kiss or whatever, and she walked off. And also in the video, I believe her mom was there as well. Like, I mean, his mom was there as well, so it wasn't like, you know, and they was looking like they had fun with it. Like, it didn't come off to me as like, I'm trying to, you know, like, bitch back up off my man, you know. But maybe that's just me. I mean this shit happened in 2015. I definitely didn't make love of it. But I'm also not in the, like, Aisha Curry, like, debate hive.
Mm-mm.
And it seems like that's what I'm discovering the more we talk about it, is that there's a, she's been a controversial figure to a lot of people for a long time now. And I think, especially considering that a lot of fucked up dudes use her as the avatar of, this what y'all females need to be like.
And bashing women upside the head, right?
Yeah. So I think that it became that. Why is this video not coming up? I know it's for the load, but I'll finish your thing and try to come back and see if it's loaded. But yeah, I think a lot of people might have taken it that way. I don't know. Calling the reporter a hoe and adding her. Wow. Well, did she do that? You know, like, because I feel like
these are those people with those agendas. Something happened, she's not the one, and other people are going out and doing this bullshit.
And I feel like this is kind of my point. A lot of people decided to make her the avatar of the pick me.
Right
now, this does not mean that everything she said was on the, you know, like on the
perfect,
the,
right,
what do you call it, the progressive side. I mean, like I said, we talked about it at the time when she made the comments about the, well, I like to keep it covered up, keep the good stuff covered up for the one who matters and all that. And you know, that's her opinion. The expressing on the internet is dangerous. You got to be careful with that shit. And she got fried. But after that, a lot of people picked up an agenda that was her juxtaposed to other women, and those other women all having to be hoes and shit. I've never seen her like court that or anything. And she's even made comments telling people to leave women alone, and that she supports any choice a woman wants to make when it comes to how they dress. I don't know why she would need to apologize to this reporter for other people calling her a hoe and shit when she didn't say or imply anything like that. I'm glad Aisha is open and honest, but she didn't apologize or address her misogyny. My friend was a waitress. She's beautiful and a lesbian. She would address the wife while serving and still get disrespected and not tipped. A woman's husband can go after a single woman and the woman will be blamed. Steph Curry needs to grow up and make sure he's representing his wife.
Yeah, this sound like you've been arguing online, baby.
He's a nice guy.
I'm sorry. You know, this sound like you, we're not the people. You're arguing with somebody who is not here at this moment.
He's a nice guy. He doesn't even know. Well, he is the one in a relationship and should ultimately have the responsibility. Sorry if this doesn't make sense. LOL, I'm typing fast. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you for writing in, baby. But yeah, you're arguing with people that are not present to defend themselves.
Yeah, I don't want to be mean, but I did not follow your points. Mm-mm. On that one. And I'm sorry, but I didn't see it. And I'm trying to find the video of this. I don't know why it's maybe I can find another. But I've seen the video before. I do remember when this happened. It just, to me, not a big deal. Reporter, let me see if I just go to video and search for it. But yeah, when it happened, I just remember being like, oh, that's, I mean, because it was also, I think people forget, it was also around the same time that who was it, it was the same time that like Riley Curry was
precious little
was like big, and we were all about Steph's family, and then Aisha comes over and his mom is celebrating. Keep in mind, Aisha and Roz are cool. Like, they take pictures together and shit. I'm looking at a picture of them together right now on my screen. Like, it's not like there's not some "the boy is mine" type of beef. But let me tell you in my opinion, what a real misogyny comes in is that a woman like Roz Gold, who is fine as fuck, obviously, and doing her job is considered a threat because she's always talking to black men after they play a basketball game. I've watched those interviews. Those men are so fucking professional. And I think it's because you almost are under pressure to be professional.
Yes, you are.
Because you are talking to a fine woman and people are projecting sex onto everything she does. So her just doing her job after the game is, you know, it's like people are treating it like, are they going to fuck? You know, and I think the idea that Aisha Curry could have come over and kissed Steph on the shoulder during an interview would say, you know, what's my man's name? Israel Gutierrez. We wouldn't have that feeling of like, this is a threat. Like, she is up here trying to tell him, that's my man, you better back off of him. Like, I didn't catch it that way, you know? It felt like they were celebrating to me. Now, here's the clip.
Get the sound on.
I'm going to turn it on.
Okay.
Here's the clip, and I'm turning on the sound. I'm turning it all the way up, because it looked like they're recording it from a TV.
Oh, they are. I'm just not realizing that they are.
Now, you saw, did y'all see that? You see his wife, the mom is right behind him too, looking at Roz. Like, it's not, that's not a threat. Those people kick it with each other. I mean, unless Roz has said different. All these fans and your wonderful family and your mama and your wife here, and they all roared for you. Like, to take that as they are threatening Roz, I think is a stretch. I don't
Everybody
know. What do you
smiling,
think, Karen?
Like, there's nothing, like, I didn't see any facial expressions that will be like, okay, who you think you are?
And that's celebrating after the game,
right?
And then, and there were rumors that were like, oh, she was drunk, they were drunk because they were celebrating, but you know, I don't know if that's true or not. That's just rumors. And so then Roz called Aisha over, like, come back, come here. I don't know if y'all can see, but Aisha has her hand around Roz's, like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not catching this vibe of like, bitch, stay away from my man. But I mean, maybe this is the nicest stay away from my man that anyone could politely do to anyone, right? Just like, I'm gonna go over there and be super friendly to this woman. She said, we can't wait. We can't wait to go home and celebrate. I think she might be drunk. Oh.
this is before her third child.
That's how they got three.
You're right.
Steph laughing. And that's the other thing too, is that this is Roz is also the Golden State Warriors reporter, so this isn't like TNT or whatever,
right?
So they have a relationship.
They got, yes, they know each other.
So I don't know, man. I'm not saying that the way I see it is the only way to see it. Maybe that really was just like the biggest passive aggressive, like, get the fuck away from my man. But Roz interviewed Steph, like, I don't know, they play 41 home games, so probably like 30 something times a year that he the best player, and they gotta talk to him after the game, like, and that is a few years ago. I just think I see it differently. I did not see that as like this, you know, I didn't see it as this threat or misogyny towards Roz in that way. It seemed like people that have become friendly because they work together, and that's, you know, part of the environment to me.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, maybe you didn't see it that way. Karen, what'd you think?
Oh, like I said, I there was nothing in that that would indicate that there was attitude or anything like that. Like you said, if that's what she was doing, that was the nicest, hey bitch, get away from my man, gesture that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Oh.
And like I said, baby, I think that you've been online talking and arguing with people maybe in real life, and we're not those people.
Yeah, you gotta be careful, because like, real talk, man, I've done it before, and it happens still to me, but you see a conversation online, you're like, is this the conversation that everybody's having? But I think a lot of these motherfucking, like, just trash ass, either, because it's either trash dudes who hold up Aisha but don't really want Aisha. Let's be frank, they don't want to be, because the thing with a woman like Aisha Curry is that also comes with a lot of commitment to your family, you know, church, all that stuff. Like, you're like, you don't ever really see Steph out here doing all the cool shit that these other niggas do. It's actually funny how people like laugh at, like, oh, look at these niggas dancing in the club, and it's him dancing with his wife. But that's what is fun for him, because that's the kind of dude you gotta be coming from that background. I mean, you don't have to be, but that's the kind of kids Dale and Sonya raised. And that corny shit is, for a lot of people, what makes love work. It's the corny shit. It's not the cool shit.
Come on.
And I think she becomes an avatar for a lot of stuff. And as much as she is an avatar for the, I'ma bash all these other women in the head with this, what a good woman is, and y'all ain't shit, she's also an avatar for a certain type of, like, I'm going to bash her because I'm tired of these churched up women judging me and shit like that. The stuff that people have attributed to, like, a couple of tweets is, it's ridiculous to me, the same way it was when it was Brother Nature, and the same way it is when, like, people bring up, like, old people's old ass tweets, like, what about this? I'm like, yeah, I feel the same way during that shit too, where it's like, this is a little ridiculous that we, that you would attribute so much to just one moment, you know? So I think she's become an avatar for a lot of people in a way that it doesn't really see her in humanity anymore. That being said, it's not that I feel like she gotta be the greatest person on the earth, or I would agree with her politics all the way and shit. She clearly is probably religious. She clearly has some levels of that, like, that chastity that a lot of people have, you know, that church lady kind of thing going, which is not my vibe, but I don't need to see her be torn down for it. And as long as she's not tearing other women down, I'm cool. She had a moment, and it's like that shit has lingered forever because people couldn't wait to just throw her in the fucking, like, as a symbol in this battle, this eternal battle between men and women online, you know, and women and women. Unfortunately, there's a lot of women that use her to bash other women as well. You know, and it's all bullshit. Women should be free to make whatever fucking choice they want with their body and their clothes, and it really shouldn't matter.
Correct.
Anyway, do you like black executive fan fiction movies was a poll. Yes, no, or never seen one. 14% of y'all have never seen one. 23% of y'all don't like them. And so that leaves 63% of our audience that likes them. Let's see, Justin W. says, I like black executive fan fiction movies. Y'all are unsung heroes for coining this genre. One of my favorites is Obsessed. Who knew that what Idris Elba was doing for work? Stephanie says, child, I love these movies. I need to watch more. I still need to watch Acrimony. So I too want to figure out how the fuck Taraji got on that boat. Listen, Stephanie,
that movie is fucking hilarious.
I don't know why people don't watch more of these. Monique says, oh man, you spoiled the plot to all the movies I was never gonna watch. I'm dying at the accuracy of the tropes of black executive fan fiction genre. Boomerang might have kicked it off. Long live Strange. Nah, Boomerang don't count. It's a rom-com. Just star black people. It's a very fine line, y'all.
There was no mass killer. He had to remind me of that. There was nobody killing.
You gotta have the existential threat to the blackness. Other than that, it's just a rom-com with some black people in it. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Alicia says, I love these movies. My favorite was Obsessed as well. On another note, regarding men who expect women to be their everything, I've been that woman who they expect to fix all their shit that was created before me, while at the same time needing to keep it all together and fix my own shit as well. And by the late 20s, I was like, fuck that. I'm now 31 and have been single ever since, and I'm starting to enjoy it. I'm glad you're starting to enjoy it. Step on into you, okay? Amar says, when you were talking about black executive fan fiction, BEFF, I realized that most of the ones I've seen were with Idris Elba, No Good Deed and Obsessed. So I really just like Idris Elba movies. And does Twas count? Y'all remember that movie? Yo, I never. Here's my problem with those movies. I only saw them on like Cinemax late, the Skinemax late at night. They're like Twas, there's more than one of them, like Twa 2, Twa 3, and all this shit.
I don't remember those.
Yeah, they're black. Like, the problem is they come on so late at night, y'all. I thought they were like Skinemax movies. So I was just like, when the fuck is the fucking gonna start?
Duh! You was disappointed.
So I've never liked them because I just went in with expectations of like, is some fucking happening or not? Because this is at the same hour. It's on Skinemax 17 at 3 a.m. on a Saturday. Somebody yes, need to get the fuck.
Fake fucking.
Yeah, somebody get to have somebody.
The body's just banging, y'all. You know, you've been looking like there's no way that woman would bounce that far if y'all was actually having intercourse.
So I don't know the plot to Twas. Is there an existential threat? Is someone being murdered? Is someone trying to kill people? Is someone trying to take this American dream?
Stalking.
I thought it was just about black people fucking and trying to have like.
So you were kind of disappointed.
Popping off. So I haven't seen them. I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I'm asking. I've never finished one. So I'm asking, are they black executive fan fiction?
Oh, I don't know.
Or is this just y'all being like, it's really a romance and then we're calling it black executive fan fiction because we don't know where these niggas work. Is a difference. Is people getting killed and stalked and threatened and all this shit or not?
Oh, somebody said thin line between love and hate.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Cause she went crazy, tried to kill that man.
She went insane.
And I think he was like a DJ at a club or some shit.
She lost her
mind. Then he like bought a club. Like, where he get that money from? Like,
who knows?
I need to watch that one again, but that one counts. Okay. Lynn Whitfield, a tour de motherfucking force. Up
come
in that
on.
Bitch. She left that
she
cake.
She crazy.
She left that cake with that knife in on his doorstep. Man, listen. Now that's a good one. Whoever came up with that one, that's a good catch. Let's see, y'all remember that movie with the original go-to light-skinned, light-eye actor Gary Dordan, Freddy's boyfriend on A Different World? LOL, I only see BEFF when an actor I really like is in it, or is in one, or I'm watching it with a group of friends, which is how I saw Twa. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure because I haven't seen that one.
So. Mm-hmm.
And the last episode of the week was Danny Targaryen's The Last Dragon, which we had 8 comments for. Let me get out of here. Yeah, Monique said y'all criteria is stringent. Yeah, it better be. Same thing with Possible White Man. You gotta keep it stringent because y'all niggas go rogue, and if you don't take control of the idea you came up with by fucking next week, y'all will be out here like anything with two black people in it is a fucking is one of these movies. Like no. It's only gonna be a handful of movies in this genre, or else it's bullshit. Like, just niggas be writing up here like, oh, is the Rugrats black executive? No, we gotta keep it strict. That's how you learn the rules. All right, so we had episode another anonymous comment. All right. Oh no, that's a meal. Okay, he just didn't log in. Okay, thank God. Danny, episode 1895 was our Game of Thrones recap with Nick Jew. Danny Targaryen's The Last Dragon was the title. I cannot believe I came up with that. That was so dope. At first, I was upset with the narrative choice of killing Missandei, but I get it now. Her death bookends the episode with Jorah's funeral at the beginning. Her two most trusted advisors, Yo, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that that's why she's very rogue, because what people fail to realize is with Jorah was literally one of the few people that kept her grounded. Like literally, he was the one that told her to get it right with Tyrion, try to work with Sansa. Like, he was the one that kind of coaxed her and kept her calm. Without that, because she's not listening to nobody else. Like, truth be told, she's just not.
Yeah, that's a great point. I just didn't think about it, but like, if somebody needs to be there to advise her against burning King's Landing to the ash, it ain't gonna be Jorah and it ain't gonna be Missandei, and that puts her at a big disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. Because Jorah would have been like, no, that's not smart,
and she might have listened is what I'm saying, because everybody
right, she might have
everyone's
listened.
Gonna tell her it's not smart, but she ain't, some of these niggas don't go here. Let's see. The ones that were with her from the beginning, all the good shit she's done, she did based on advice from either of these two people. As a matter of fact, her hand Tyrion joined the team with all sorts of hype. He was going to be a mature calming force on the team, putting up respectable numbers all season, and but be the presence that would help them get to the finals. However, Tyrion has made bad decision after bad decision. If she didn't listen to him, she would have fucked up Cersei at the Red Keep, then gone to fight the threat in the north, after which she'd worry about winning over the hearts and minds of the people. That was not to be because Tyrion's bad advice. You said you were hoping for Missandei to take Cersei down with her, but my narrative wish for Cersei is to kill Tyrion when he was standing there shouting up to Cersei, because my God, how many times is this nigga going to trust her humanity? Yeah, I would have been dope. I honestly thought that too. It was like, well, after Cersei had Missandei killed, I don't know why she didn't just tell everybody to start shooting arrows and fucking those big ass bolt guns at Daenerys and them and just kill them. Maybe they didn't aim down enough. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
The thing I find that was good about this episode was when Varys and Tyrion were debating, both of them made good points. Varys is wary about the people that claim that destiny is on their side, while Tyrion has seen good, the good she's done and believes her intentions are straight. Well, also, I mean, he did bring up the fact that she did walk into the fire with three dragons eggs and came out unburned. Yeah. I mean, she might believe in destiny.
And you can't skip what Sansa says. You scared her.
Yeah, but even still, yeah, with the fear of her and whatnot, but she might be a pure true believer because she's seen some shit now.
Right. Yes, they've, yes, they've been through some things.
Yeah, yeah, they haven't seen dragons in this land in like thousands of years. So yeah, she's seen some shit. So to her, believing in the impossible is not that impossible. Even during the planning session, Sansa's point about the rest in the armies was equally as valid as Daenerys' point about not giving Cersei time to breathe. This gives me hope about the writing over the next two episodes. They have me wanting both Sansa and Dany to get what they want, even though I know that can't happen. Mm-mm. Only two episodes left. To quote Dr. Stephen Strange, we're in the end game now, Emil. Yeah, a couple things I want to point out too. The show is ending. They have two episodes left. One of the hardest things for what they're doing, and I don't think people have enough respect for it, so they're just calling it lazy and shit. They're trying to write these endings that aren't your fan fiction that you've been writing in your head, that aren't just predictable things that were going to happen. So anytime somebody does something unpredictable or different than how people act, people go, it's lazy writing. They don't respect the characters. GR would never. Well, GR ain't write them books yet. No, so we actually don't know what he would do. And secondly, like, if they just do the shit that you expect them to do, then what the fuck point of watching the show is that? You gotta want them to do something different. Right, like, I don't want to.
Then you would complain about how you already know.
Yeah, and it's become a big part of the show. The show fanhood is based on this, like, I'm gonna predict everything that happens. I don't really listen to anybody else's recaps of Game of Thrones specifically, because if you listen to most people's recaps, it's just them predicting what the fuck is gonna happen next week.
Right.
It's not even like like they not even really enjoying the show. It's just, I think this should happen. And when it don't happen the way exactly how they want it, it's, well, this is why the show is trash. I'm like, I mean, I guess if that's the kind of review you want to do, but I don't want to hear that shit.
Mm-mm.
You know, like I got my own guesses. I don't want to hear the guesses. I want to fucking see, like, how you feel about what's happening on the show now, what they're doing, these moments that I remember, you know? Marlo replies to Emil, I gotta agree with Emil, most of Dany's misfortunes happened after she made Tyrion her hand. Lady Olenna told her point blank that sometimes clever men don't give good advice, and that was how she outlived them. Dany has her armies intact and had all three dragons at the start of season 7. The more I think about it, the more annoyed I get with Tyrion, which is why I thought if anyone was sabotaging Dany, it was him. He knows how crazy and ruthless his sister is, yet he keeps giving her chances. Yeah, at this point, I think, you know, the camp of, like, she has a traitor in her midst. I'm starting to wonder if she could, because what traitor does she have among her that would also not be putting themselves in direct line of danger with this information? Like, Varys was in the crypt.
Yes.
You know, Tyrion and Varys was on the boat. They got the fucking spears shot through it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm starting to wonder who. People said it was Missandei, and now she dead.
I don't think it was ever her. I think she was loyal all the way.
I mean, well, we know she was, right. But I'm just saying that was a speculation for some people online. It makes me wonder, like, who could it be that? Because if I'm snitching on you, I'm not like telling people to come get these niggas. They're gonna be they gonna be turning around the corner and I'm with you. That's stupid. Anyway, Mary says, oh my goodness, how I'm enjoying this, trying not to laugh out loud at work. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
That's what we do it for. Brooklyn Shoebay says, same here. I'm here for the Game of Thrones jokes. Gonna miss these recaps. Nick Jew was so much fun. I love your recaps because it's like watching TV with my family. That's the vibe we going for. Thank you. Marlo says, it's not just book readers. Casual fans are upset too, and not just because the show is ending. The writing has been lazy. Oh, that's a fact. Okay, cool. Well, guess no one can disagree with that. No, it's not an opinion. Characters are behaving in ways that make no sense based on the past. Things happen that defy logic just to move the plot along, like i.e. Dany missing the Iron Fleet and not scouting ahead, even though she had mentioned it all season and had her ships ambushed before. Euron's crazy accuracy in shooting down Rhaegal, etc. I'm gonna be real, I don't see how either one of those things is plot defying or logic defying. I don't remember Dany talking about scouting ahead on the dragons for the Iron Fleet or any of that shit at all. And if y'all,
I don't think she did, which I think was a strategic error.
Yeah, but I don't remember them saying that she was doing that. Like, you remember how in episode 3 she was like, make sure we scout ahead so we don't get ambushed by Euron. Is that a thing that happened that I missed? I watch these shows more than once. The other part of this is that scene was them anchoring down in Dragonstone. So it's not as one-to-one as, like, they sat down. Like, it's not like, let me take my dragons out and scout Dragonstone ahead of time. She was just taking them out to fly because they were home. Like, stretch your legs, babies. We made it. And boom, they got roasted. The other thing too is like, they have also built these characters to be flawed. So them making mistakes now is like the mistakes are more crucial because we're getting to the end, but they've written mistakes into these characters for years. None of them have the perfect strategies.
No.
All of them try things and fail. It's one of the things I like about the show, to be honest. So to me, I don't see it as like, oh, this is just lazy. They just don't care. I feel like, no, Dany has been impulsive. Dany has been, she's not necessarily a tactician in a military mind in that way.
No, she's not.
So, and then this was really just them getting to Dragonstone. They hadn't even started going to King's Landing yet. You know, it totally seemed like they would be able to ambush them there, but that's just my opinion. The showrunners have lost their passion and went against G.R.R. Martin's request to have 2 full seasons, 7 extra episodes.
With what money, bitch? I mean, not towards you, but they can't wait on him to write a book forever. These actors want to go on and do other things. HBO is like, we spent a lot of money. Your ass is doing other things. You out here taking photo ops and shit, and we want to wrap this shit up? No.
I'm not saying that they, I don't know how you can tell they lost their passion unless they've said that. You know, I just think all this shit has to come to an end. And money doesn't grow on trees. And these are the most expensive TV episodes of all time. So to say they lost their passion or they're not trying or they giving up, I think it's kind of some, I would not agree with you. Because I'm like, they don't put that kind of money and time in this shit. They're so ambitious with what they're doing. It is taking them extra years to film the show. Keep in mind, this production involves hundreds of lives, right? You got people that are going to die during the 11 years it's been on, right? We've had actors that can't do it for other obligations. Keep in mind, these actors don't want to play these roles their whole fucking lives. Emilia Clarke wants to go and use some of this fame for like movies. You know, I'm sure the dude that plays John as well, like he couldn't cut his hair, Kit Harington. So like, a lot of these, like, the reality of the limitations of life are sinking in to the show. I don't think it's as, like, it's not like a book where I can just write a book and they can do any fucking thing I want them to do. They have to be, there's some constraints to this, you know? So I feel like they are putting, to me, I don't feel like it's just like they half-assed this. Wow, this CGI, they didn't even try or whatever. I mean, that being said, I'm not saying there's no mistakes or whatever. I'm not even saying they didn't have to rush some shit, because they probably do have to rush shit, because you only got X amount of episodes left. Also, I think one of the things I wish they had said was that, and they started with this and they switched it, but they, instead of saying season 7, season 8, I wish they would have said season 7 part 1, season 7 part 2. Cause I think in people's heads that would make it a little less like, it's only 6 episodes instead, and we'd be like, oh, this season starting with 7, they had like whatever, what was it, 7 last season and 6 this or something like that. They said that at the beginning, that they're gonna split the final season into 2 parts, but maybe for money or DVD sets or whatever, they are selling it as if it's 2 different seasons. I think it's just 1 long-ass season with a big ass break.
Yeah, and my thing is, I do understand some of your critiques. Some of my, I just don't understand. But my thing is, if I'm HBO, why would I listen to an author who I am paying you for the right to use your stuff? You're not paying me, I'm paying you. I am the one investing billions of dollars probably over the course of this series to do this. And you're taking your time writing this book. You don't get to dictate to me as somebody who's invested millions of dollars when I end the series. You don't get to do that. I can't wait 2 years. I don't have an unlimited amount of money to wait for you to write your book.
Yeah, so look, I'm like I said, I'm not trying to say, because I think what happens is, if we don't agree, then it becomes like, y'all just care about these white men, or mm-mm, y'all just think the show is perfect. It's not that, man. I just, some of your critiques, I'm like, that's your opinion.
Right.
You're presenting it as fact, like, this is what happened. I'm like, I'm watching the same show and I'm not getting that impression. And that should be okay. We should be able to disagree on, you know, art in a subjective way, right? We should be able to say, you should be able to feel that it's lazy, and I should be able to feel that it's not, without it, you know, like having to be a problem. Because I think essentially what is being lost in the, you know, I'll finish your thing and I'll bring up my bigger point anyway. They could have just handed the reins to more capable producers without rushing to the end of the series. They did 7 seasons already. The reason you love this show is because of them, though. So how are they gonna get all the credit and then they just supposed to give up? That there's no reason for them, and it's still the highest rated show on TV. There's no reason for them to give up the reins, and y'all are gonna watch the next 2 weeks too. Like, there's no reason for them to give up the reins. That's like when people say Tyler Perry should stop making movies and let other people use the studio. For what?
Wow.
I built the studio off of my work. They took an extra year to prepare for season 8. Well, you just said they were lazy, but they took an extra year to get it done. Also, regarding the response to Sansa evolving because of her sexual abuse, many are highlighting that no women directed or wrote an episode of Game of Thrones since season 5. No people of color either, when you consider the treatment of non-white characters, Dothraki, Missandei. To quote Varys Hilton, nothing should be rewarded with blind loyalty. One of the Game of Thrones prequels has already cast 4 black actors for lead roles, 3/4 are women. I don't know that we are. So there's 2 things. I brought this up on the show. This happens a lot. I don't know why people presume this so much. I don't know that none of those men in the writing room have ever dealt with sexual assault.
This mission ended.
Oh shit. Okay. All right. Well. All right. So I got cut off. I misread the thing. So I may have missed a few. I don't know if it was a few minutes, a few seconds, whatever.
It was just a few seconds.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. So the thing for me is, I'm not rewarding the show with blind loyalty. I remember mm-hmm. talking about how I didn't like the Sand Snake plot line during like season 5 or whatever. But I do enjoy the show, and I'm gonna be honest about it. You know, I think people feel like there's an obligation to agree with their take on the shit, and y'all not obligated to enjoy the show. Y'all aren't obligated to even enjoy our recaps, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, but you know, we definitely don't do the recaps to drag the show down or to drag the show, because I really wouldn't watch it if I felt that negatively about it. And then when you brought up the whole thing about Sansa, and there's no women and no people of color on the episode, right in the writing room or whatever, I don't keep up with that kind of stuff.
Right.
I'm not saying you shouldn't, but one of the reasons I don't want to keep up with it is because I want to judge it for myself. I think the online kind of social justice like wave is to be like, oh, a white person did this thing, it ain't shit, you know. Meanwhile, if a black person does it, that's, it's, we got to go up for it. Like, it's a political kind of like agenda, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, you know. Like, it's the difference between like Catherine Bigelow making Detroit, I think it was Detroit was the episode, was the name of the movie, and mostly people just shit on it because a white woman tried to make a movie and it had something to do with race, and we were like, I'm sick of this shit, you just, you know. But like, Ava DuVernay is doing Central Park 5, like, sight unseen, everybody's like, this is gonna be great. Even the people that are like, I won't watch it because I can't watch black suffering movies, but I know it's gonna be great, right? Like, that's kind of an agenda. We don't actually know it's gonna be great till we see it. I hope it is, you know. We don't know Detroit's gonna suck until we see it. I hope it doesn't, but it might, right? That's kind of like the thing I try to stay out of, and unless I already like really fuck with a creative team, you know, like, other than just the name of like the directors or something like that, I'm not keeping up with what does the writing room look like, what about this, what about that. I don't even know how people get that information. And when it comes to the recap, I'm definitely not keeping up with that, because that's not what I'm recapping, you know. We're not recapping the making of Game of Thrones, we're recapping what happened in the episode and how we had fun watching it, if we had fun watching it. And we happen to have fun. This is a divisive episode. Every year about this time, Game of Thrones has a divisive episode that motherfuckers decide that they hate, and they don't want to watch the show, or you know, this is terrible and everybody has to say it's terrible, and this is great, everybody has to say it's great. I'm trying my best to stay out of the arguments about it. I really didn't really want people writing up to tell us how much they didn't like the episode, because I don't want to be like, well, I disagree with you and here's why, because most people are gonna frame it the way you're doing, which is, y'all are giving blind loyalty to this show, y'all are defending these, you know. And that's not what we're doing, you know. Like, we genuinely enjoyed it without necessarily agreeing with it from your perspective. Not that doesn't make you wrong or us right, it just makes us different.
Yeah, and that's the thing, it just makes our perspective and our points of views different. Because my thing, and when Roger was talking about the ending of the show, you might not be one of these people, but we realized a lot of this started spiking because it is the last season. People don't know how to express that I'm sad that this show is leaving, because we've watched it before, and like you said, people have critiques all throughout the seasons, but this season right here, it's been very high. Every episode just about, you see this, so I'm going, oh, okay, y'all love it just like everybody else loves it, you don't know how to express it. And you know, for some people, they truly might think the writing is lazy and all these other things, that's fine too. You know, I'm not arguing with you on that, but like Roger said, when people make these statements, you're saying that like it's fact, like I'm just supposed to agree. Don't we all agree that the writing is bad? No, we don't all agree that the writing is bad.
Yeah, and that's the thing, I'm not doubting that she's being on the up and up, telling, you know, like, that's how she feels, then that's valid. Like,
right.
I want people to understand, because what happens is people just, it goes in one ear out the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes, well, you're trying to say something about me because I felt differently than you. I'm not. You know, I've seen this already. Y'all can't even, nobody can critique your little show. You absolutely can. That's not a problem for me. This show is not a critique of Game of Thrones. This recap we do,
right?
There's a science and an art to it and a magic to it that makes our shit way doper than everybody else doing it. You know what I mean? Because we found a unique way to do it. You know, it's the reason our shit been popping for years. But not because we don't ever see anything critical of the show, we don't ever agree with the critiques. It's literally just not our lane, and we have perfected a lane in a way that that other people have not thought of and can't copy and can't do better than us. Like, if you knew how much thought goes into what we do as a recap, then you would kind of understand our response. Because it's not that I don't think these things matter, but when it comes to what we do as a recap, they absolutely don't matter. Because then it ends up derailing the point of what we're doing. we are black people from the South. We're black people in America. Black people watching this white ass show that does not have us in mind, right? Never had us in mind. We have found our joy in it by taking that joy and finding the fun where we find it. A lot of people are only watching this because everybody else is watching it.
Agreed. It's not your genre. You don't care.
A lot of people are watching it knowing that they really have emotional triggers and misgivings with this type of art and still continue to consume it because they don't want to be left out. That's okay. And there are plenty of recaps and reviews for those type of people. They're all over the place. I guarantee you 99% of the online critics this week were shitting on the show. I mean, why wouldn't they?
Right.
But that won't be our show because that's not as fun. And our point of our recaps is to make it fun. And there's nothing fun about discussion on, well, you know, these white men are writing these characters and I mean, how would they know anything about sexual assault? I don't know that they've been assaulted or not. Really not relevant to the recap we're doing.
Right. People making assumptions. We don't know.
Right. So I don't want to get into that part. You know, what was funny is if Nick Jew hadn't brought that up, I wouldn't have, because I didn't even see that discussion online, because that's literally the opposite of what I'm looking for when I'm talking about Game of Thrones. I don't want to do that. I think, you know, it's okay for people to do that. That criticism is important and it's work. And it matters, but that's not what our recap is. And I think people need to understand that distinction between it. And then some of the stuff that are just narrative choices, I literally just disagree. You know, I think my man No Scope and Rhaegar was dope. I think that was like adding a scope to that doesn't change anything to me. It's kind of a ridiculous thing to get hung up on. To be like, oh, this nigga shot Rhaegar 3 times with no scope is not a thing that makes me go, wow, fuck this show or fuck this character or fuck this writing. I'm like, if you put a scope on it, it's the same result. So yeah, this nigga was just, he's that nice with the goddamn spear chucker. Okay. And I know that's a racist word, but I couldn't think of the right spear gun. He's that fucking nice with the spear gun. You know what I mean? And that's it for me.
Flying harpoon? I don't know.
Yeah, the story is this nigga gonna shoot down the dragon. Cause you know these dragons is catching hell. You knew this. She had a 3-dragon lead. They have to reduce it or there's no stakes at the end. Right? Mm-mm. So that's the thing. Like, and I was cool with that. So anyway. Let's see.
Oh yeah. And something else I wanted to clarify. Baby, I wasn't mad at you. I just want you to know that. Like, you know, I'm very passionate about what I'm saying, so I don't want me, saying bitch to be taken out of context and people writing up here talking about, well, Karen, you, no, I just want to clarify.
So you weren't calling her a bitch, you would just say a bitch like punctuation on your sentence.
Correct.
Okay. I understood, but I'm glad you clarified.
I know you understood, but I wanted to make it clear for other people listening.
No, I'm glad you clarified. I just don't know if it's my place to be like, you can't. I don't know how, you know, if y'all want to call each other that word, you like the N-word, I don't know. One of the Game of Thrones prequels already cast 4 black actors in lead roles and 3/4 are women. I love Game of Thrones, and even at its worst, it's still great television, but we can't underestimate the power of constructive criticism versus just being a hater.
Now that part I agree with.
Yeah, I want to know what I think is going to be funny, and I'm not rooting for this. But it would be hilarious if that Game of Thrones prequels come out with them black people and that shit is trash. Ooh. Listen.
Oh, they burn it down.
I know that I'm woke. But the level of just like, I don't know what the right word is, but whatever it is inside of you that just gets giddy when some shit don't go as planned and you get to watch everybody scramble them agendas on the timeline, it's in me. Okay, I still got the devil in me. If they put out a black ass Game of Thrones spinoff and that shit not popping and y'all don't like it, I'ma laugh so hard, cause it's all like motherfuckers just nowadays, y'all judge everything off of goddamn like movie trailers for 30 seconds, a clip.
Ooh, right, 300 word essays. You'd be like, right. It's only 30 seconds. How did you get all that?
People done wrote us chapters about Aisha Curry and you could tell they didn't even watch the whole video. like, you know, people doing whole segments on their podcast shitting on her, didn't even take the time to watch the table talk. Like, you shitting on her was longer than it took to watch the whole table talk. Like, that kind of thing is rampant. And this thing where we root for like these markers on people and not the actual work, I understand it, but at the same time, it's not a solidified necessary success marker. Like, just because a black person is doing it, just because a person that fits a marginalized group is doing it, is not mean it's gonna be great. Sometimes mm-hmm. black people do shit and you don't like it, and that should be okay. That's actually what real equality would be.
Come on, we ain't got to be excellent at everything.
Real equality is not black excellence and black girl magic and being twice as better to get half as much. Like, real equality is Tyler Perry.
Real equality is I can be mediocre and it's okay.
Right. So I'll just always get a little bit less excited than most people when I see this casting news and shit, because I'm like, I just want to see the thing and then I'll decide if I love it. I'm not gonna be like, they cast so and so and so and so, because how many times have we seen that? And you go see the shit and you be like, am I allowed to say this ain't good?
Come on, am I allowed to say it ain't good? I know y'all went up for it, but dog, this ain't good. And just because somebody black all around, I'm not obligated to say it's good.
Yeah, I forget the name of that movie that was a Disney movie last year, but everybody was like, y'all better see this just like Black Panther. And then people was like, I saw it. How do I tell you it's not as good as Black Panther? Like, I don't hate black women, I don't hate black girls, but it's not... I don't like it as much as Black Panther. Yeah. I thought one was a better movie, and I'm not hating. Like, there should be no social media obligation for me to like spend my money and then have to go home and lie and be like, it's everything. It's much better than all this shit. Y'all like, what's wrong with that? You know?
Yeah, I think it was A Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, Wrinkle in Time.
Queen of Cotway was actually really good.
Queen of Cotway was good, but people ain't watching.
They sure did not.
You know, and I don't know who directed it. It might be directed by a white person. Shit, that the movie that everybody got excited about with Taraji P. Henson and the Hidden Figures. Directed by a white person. You know, like, white people can make good shit. White people can make fucked up shit. I'm a person that likes to see the shit before I start getting into, like, I don't fuck with this, that, and the other.
Let me see the art first.
Let me see the art. They go on to say, I got Game of Thrones. I love Game of Thrones, da-da-da. It's the reason Dan and Dave's whack-ass HBO Confederate show got fridged, LOL. That's actually not true.
Right, it didn't get fridged. I don't know why people think that just because they're not talking about it don't mean it ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, it wasn't that hashtag that got that shit up out of the paint, and it's actually still in production. Mm-hmm. And what I thought was interesting is they're just producers. Y'all are talking about writers and stuff. Nobody cared that the black married couple they were gonna have writing it ain't get that job. Like, so it didn't fit the agenda to mention that, oh, these black people who are guaranteeing that this isn't gonna be some like coon ass TV show about how great the South is if it won. Y'all, they're pretty much doing it. They were doing interviews and shit being like, hey, this is not what you guys are making it out to be online. But that didn't fit the agenda that was happening online. It was more about the fact that we want to come together and make sure that this idea never even doesn't see the light of day.
Cause if it come out, y'all, I am watching it.
Right. And that's the last point I want to make before we move on, which is that I find it odd to have watched this show for 7 seasons, 11 years, that was essentially made by these same two people the whole time, and then be like, any other project they do, I'll never watch. That sounds crazy to me. I will fucking be there. When they do their Star Wars shit, I'm gonna be there. Woo-hoo! If they would have done Confederate, I would have been there. I wanted to at least see it. If it's whack, I'll be the first person like, yeah, I don't want to watch that anymore. If it's dope, I'll be like, oh, cool. Didn't see that coming. Or, well, of course it's good. These motherfuckers did it. You know what I mean? So, it's weird to me that this has become at once the most watched show and at the same time, such a divisive show that continues to still be consumed. And that's not to say there should be no criticism of it. Mm-mm. It's just that we enjoy the show and our podcast isn't about criticizing the show. In that way, anyway. I'm not saying we couldn't not enjoy something, but it's not like, well, you know, when the writers are white men, who wanna listen to that? Like, this ain't NPR. We do shit way flyer than everybody else. All right, Amon says, I never thought of it like that. There's a reply to this one. But as a book reader, I'm not upset about the way the show is ending. They've been off book for a while now, and I'm just waiting for the next books. Like, is GRRM just toying with us? Did he already finish the books? Is waiting to release them after he dies so he can't ask follow-up questions?
No, he might be.
Like how Harry Potter fans on Twitter have been with J.K. Rowling. They're complaining about her now, but they brought it on themselves. EVE says, I want Danny to burn every single person in King's Landing. They were the same motherfuckers who cheered when Ned was beheaded, and it's full of disloyal kids who can be bought like candy. Those are the same people who fling doo-doo at people. Red Keep is on fire. We don't want no water. Let the motherfuckers burn. I feel you. Doug B says, the showrunner should have just had Missandei just jump off the wall with Cersei. Other than that, I don't see what anyone has to complain about. The characters are different from what we've seen of them. The writing isn't trash. Nobody watching was going to get the exact story they were dreaming in their heads. Yeah, I feel you, Doug. Like I said, man, I really want people to understand there's space where we can just enjoy the show and disagree.
Correct.
And not make it a personal attack or say like your critiques are wrong. It don't matter. Everything that person said about, you know, that person, let me go back to find her name. But everything that Marlo said, you know, if that's how Marlo feels, that's perfectly fine. Like,
yes, it is.
I really don't want to get bogged down into what I'm seeing online, which is people like, real talk, man, is I know what we do for a living don't seem like a lot of work to people, because one, we make it look easy and we're very good at it. But this part of the season every year is a bit of a grind for me, because you know, we become this focal point for people who want to like kind of argue about the show, because they've been arguing about it all week.
Yes, sir.
And they kind of want to talk about like what they liked or what they didn't like. And you know, seeing some of the tenor online, seeing some of the, you know, the comments that were coming in and stuff, the emails, I really was gonna not do any feedback about Game of Thrones this week and just be like, we're done with feedback for Game of Thrones, because it, you know, it only falls into like three categories. Either you saw what we saw and you got the kind of same observations we had, you disagree with our observations and you would like to, you know, voice that disagreement, that's really about the same two categories, right? And some of them can be long, and there's a lot of people that are only just talking to us about Game of Thrones, but they don't really fuck with us long term. Like, the second this show is over, it's the fucking back to like, fuck Rod and Karen, I'm on some other shit now.
Yes, sir.
And so I don't want to invest too much time and too much of my life into this show in that way, because it shouldn't be the all consuming thing that I've seen it become on so many people's like presence, like whether it's their podcast, whether it's their social media, whatever. It's just like, show comes on and then 7 days of arguing, then the show comes on and 7 days of arguing, then the show comes on 7 days and it's team this and it's team that. And I just don't want our podcast to become that, so I'm wary of that, and I'm wary of going down that rabbit hole of going back and forth with people. So that's the main thing I'm trying to avoid. And I decided to do the feedback, as y'all can see, anyway, because you know, it's our show, and you know, you guys are very nice to listen to the show and write in, and I don't ever want to lose sight of that or take that for granted, because a lot of people do their art and then nobody fucking says a word to them.
Correct. And also my biggest thing is that we want our recap show not to be responding to the people online. Like, I think a lot of people recap show isn't a recap of the show. It's your recap show is responding to the handful of people that you've been arguing with online. Let me tell you this. Most people tuning in aren't on social media like that. They don't give a fuck, and they don't care about that small percentage of people that you've been arguing with. It feels big to you because you're invested in online, but the average person is either not online at all like that, don't have social media at all like that, or don't even use their social media to that extent. So they're not listening to hear debates about some shit that they don't care about and they're not invested in. They come to hear about the show.
Yeah, and so the other thing is, and I just can't stress this enough, we are so fucking good at this. We thought of all this. Like, I'll give you a little behind the scenes. For example, Black people are upset that Missandei died. you know, specifically black women, but black people in general. We lost half the black people on the show in one fucking moment, right? We've been rooting for this couple to get together, and this is a trope, right? We've seen this trope.
Yes, it's a running trope.
We've seen this trope of the black person, black character dying, the black best friend dying, and then that makes the white person better, right? So instead of bogging the show down and being like, let's talk about woe is me, good times, and how sad this shit is, and, you know, maybe add an extra minute to the recap or just making it kind of a bummer. Instead, I came up with like a couple of jokes. One, hey, we lost half the black people on the show. White feminism killed Masandi. Now, those are just two jokes, two observations, but they take less than 30 seconds to make both those observations. We laugh about it because I'm telling you the truth, but I'm telling you in a joke, and we move on. What I don't want to do is kind of become the hub for like that last response we had to read, which, or the one before that, whatever, which is where it's kind of like, and this is why I'm concerned with this, and this is up to, like, because that's not actually a good recap anymore. It's not fun, you know, and I don't even participate in those online.
Mm-mm.
So like, even when I see people talking about these things, I'd avoid it. I have friends that have been shitting on the show all week, and I'm like, yeah, that's their opinion, that's cool. Like, what am I gonna tell them to dis? I don't want to fight people. And I don't want people coming to me as if I wrote the show with them. I actually don't like being in a position where I have to voice like, well, I saw it and I just don't agree with you, because I see how people react to that. They don't take it as, well, I respect that and I respect Mm-mm. you and I
it's
appreciate
like,
you.
Sides.
Yeah, it's immediately like, y'all caping for the white man and shit. It's like, okay, I don't know what to say at this point, because I'm not. And there's never been a nigga alive that can make me feel like I'm some sort of a coon or some shit. So it's just a non-conversation starter at that point, you know? And so I've tried to avoid it just because I've seen it play out with other people. And hopefully it doesn't start playing out on our show, because, you know, that would suck. All right. The poll was, is Danny going to burn up all them innocent people at King's Landing? Peaches749 says, oh my god, y'all, Masandi, no, I'm trying to hold it together, but I'm devastated, for real. I really like Dany. I want her to have the throne. I'm pissed with a capital P at Tyrion. He should be campaigning for her, him and John. At the dinner, when Tormund was bigging him up, John should have turned around and big up Dany as her man and a person who supports her claim as much as he says he does. He says he supports her claim as queen. He wasn't and hasn't being very vocal about it. He says it in private conversations, but he has not and does not back her claim in public where it could help her be accepted by the people and lords and all. Has he not? I know he definitely did it when they first got to King's Landing and they had that big ass conference meeting with all the houses. He definitely had her back there when Sansa was side eyeing and they were sitting all together. So I don't feel like he's never done it, but I think since she's known, he hasn't done it in front of everybody. That's a, like, since she's known that he, and well, since he's known even, he hasn't done it in front of everybody, which makes me wonder if he really wants that, you know? I really think they could win without bloodshed if Tyrion was high key campaigning for her, going into the whorehouses and pubs and talking about how she freed the slaves and how she loves her people and how much of a badass she is. He used to be all over the kingdom getting information and making it work for him. If the whole point of this is to take King's Landing without destroying it, they have to campaign for it. It could work. They can present Dany to the people as the benevolent Queen Daenerys, come to save them from the evil Queen Cersei. I would definitely get rid of Tyrion's ass if he didn't get it together and come up with some solutions.
But the problem is that she don't want to wait. Oh, they suggested shit like this. She didn't want to hear that. She was right. Like, let's go motherfucking right now.
He did suggest exactly
right. He was like, hey, we can do this, but it's going to be a slower method. It's going to take some time. You got to win their hearts and minds. You running there with full force, ain't nobody gonna listen to you.
Yeah, he said he wanted to, I remember they wanted to embargo King's Landing, starve the people out until they just basically turned on Cersei.
Right.
One of the things, though, about that, it could backfire, even that solution, right? It could turn into Cuba, where they're like, no, Viva Fidel, motherfucker, fuck you. You know, like, so, I don't know. I don't know this. I just think there's nothing but bad solutions at this point. Everything has a consequence, and that's the whole point of the show. And also, I don't remember, is there still a bounty on Tyrion's head, or he good now?
Oh, I don't know.
They haven't talked about that in a while. I forget how that was resolved. Maybe they took the bounty off when he came there and met Cersei last year. Hey, what the fuck? We used to be the prophet. Tyrion looking like a sucker for Cersei. I would love to see him get with the program and start getting the word out that Dany is a better queen. The people hate Cersei. All the people need is a better option. She doesn't have to be the best, just better than her competition, which she is. Then after all the people desert Cersei, then you burn her and all you have to rebuild is your castle, which is another thing for people to get behind you on because they hate Cersei. That's work, money, and food for them. I don't know what to say about Varys. Personally, do not want to see Jon on the throne. I don't want to see no man on the Iron Throne. I want my queen just because she's a woman. Yeah, I said it, LOL. I love you guys. This is my favorite podcast. See you in the chat room.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peaches. Amar says, even though I voted that she'll find another way, I wouldn't blame her at all if she burned the motherfucking King's Landing to the ground. If she says burn it all, then that might make Varys' decision to betray her easier. Mm-hmm. Because that's what Jaime said the Mad King used to say a lot, even though I don't think Dany is crazy at all. Just impatient, and she doesn't understand the people of Westeros. Oh, I didn't say the results of the poll, did I? Is Dany going to burn up all them innocent people at King's Landing? 78% say yep, they toast.
Mm-hmm. They melted cheese.
22% say she'll find another way. Monique says, man, fuck them fickle ass people in the Red Keep, roast them crispy. Okay, that's just my anger and frustration speaking. I would love to see her hush roast Tyrion on the spot, though. That, what an utter disappointment. If we're honest, he puts his family above Dany. He doesn't even realize it. Dany could have been burned the Red Keep to ashes and took her throne, only killing a small amount of people. But no, diplomacy. Let's try diplomacy with savage murders. Mm-hmm.
I'm just predicting. I don't know, but who knows? Like, she may go to fry Tyrion, and he don't burn. We don't know.
Yeah. I'm done with him, and you know they will do something to redeem him, but I will never forgive the comedy of tragic mistakes. All right, we had a couple of voicemails. I haven't screened them, and I haven't listened to them yet. I have no idea what these are about. So we'll find out together. Voicemail line 704-557-0186, and you can leave a voicemail, but it has to be 2 minutes or less.
Rod and Taryn, hope you both are doing well. First thing is first, can you guys share with us when you're going live on Wednesdays to do the Game of Thrones recap? It's a different experience to actually witness you guys live, and it's a different experience listening to just sort of like the feedback. I'm not sure which one I prefer yet, but it's a completely different experience. Anyway, so let me know when you actually go live so that I can try to catch that on. I think it's Crowdcast or whatever. Anyway, the second thing is, I love the episode that you just did on Black Executive, the movie. I think it's so hilarious. I've always watched those movies and go, well, goddamn, how much money are they paying these Black executives? I'm a Black executive on Wall Street, and I can't afford no $1 million, $2 million damn house. So I thought it was so funny that you've given this whole movie a genre, if you will, the Black Executive. I mean, who want to be. I'm one of them, and I certainly can't afford what, you know, they can afford in those damn movies. So I thought it was hilarious. And no, I'm not just here for Game of Thrones. I'm a new subscriber, and I will continue to support you guys because I think it's the bomb, and it's what I need. Talk to you soon. Bye.
It's very nice of you.
Thank you, baby.
As far as getting live updates on Crowdcast, so that's a little bit difficult. What you have to do is go to Crowdcast and put a heart over us, right?
Yeah, make an account if you don't already have one.
You can log in with Twitter, you can log in with Facebook. Mm-hmm. but you click on the Crowdcast, you put a heart on it, then which says you now are, we're one of your favorite people. If you then have to either go to your settings or you pick from right there, do you want to get email alerts when we go live? There isn't a special email alert just for the Wednesday show. If you do this, you will get email alerts every time we go live for the show.
Yeah, for the regular shows.
For the regular shows and for those Game of Thrones shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get the email goes out when I click go live. You get an email, and you know, normally within about 30 minutes of that email, we have like started the show. Sometimes I play music and stuff before the show. So
yeah, it also gives you like a 10-minute notification before you go live. And Apple, I don't know about Android, I think Android and Apple both have apps. So you can download the apps to your phones, and the apps actually give notifications also, because that's what I do.
Right.
So the notifications actually flash up, so you will know that we're going live, even if you don't have your email or you don't have access like that.
So go to the Crowdcast app or crowdcast.io on a computer or whatever, and search for us, and then, like I said, like us, favorite us, heart us, whatever. And just make sure you have the option so that you can get that notification. And that's it. You'll get notifications every time we go live.
Mm-hmm.
She did have more, like two more emails, to go. But
you mean voicemails?
Voicemails.
Okay.
Yeah, voicemails to go. I'm glad you enjoyed the Black Executive fan fiction, genre.
Okay. Random thoughts. So I went to a predominantly all-white college. Did not have an opportunity to go to HBCU. I also had friends that went to an HBCU after I started my first job. I was not born here in this country. I came here on an athletic scholarship and went to a school that was about 2 miles away from an HBCU. Now, being foreign student, I had no idea what an HBCU is. I absolutely know what it is.
It's breaking up too bad. I'm sorry, I tried to hang in there, but it broke up too bad on that phone call. I couldn't hear, make out what was happening. So I'm sorry about that.
So I don't know if my call got dropped or if the system cut me off because it was longer than 2 minutes. Anyway, so I'll ask my question. So I'd like to get your perspective, Karen and Rod, on how should someone like me, like, what's your perspective on those of us who identify not necessarily as Black American, but who are viewed as Black American? Because if you live in this country and you're brown skin, then you're automatically considered a Black American.
Mm-hmm.
But by white, right? But if I hang out with my Black friends, then they can clearly see that I'm not a Black American because I perhaps don't know the culture and the history, and obviously wasn't taught to us. I think it should be required, particularly for international students coming to this country. I think it should be a requirement that we understand and know what the history is of this country in college. I know now, but I'm going back into college to say, you know, perhaps I can get along with a lot of those people in college because, you know, I didn't know the culture. I couldn't appreciate it, right? I came from a Caribbean country. So I want to get your perspective on that in terms of, you know, what you see as a challenge going forward with those of us who don't identify as Black American but are considered Black Americans by whites, but we're not accepted by Black Americans because they clearly know we're not Black American. Maybe we speak with an accent. Maybe we don't know the culture and the history. We don't appreciate it. So it's almost like a debacle, right? So I want to get your perspective on that. Thanks, guys.
Love y'all.
Thank you, baby. And it's kind of a catch-22 with that question. And the reason why I said this is because Black Americans, people that were born and raised here, you're right, there is a special culture here. And brown people outside of the United States that come into the United States, some of them have bought into white supremacy because that's kind of how America is pushed and promoted outside of the United States. So some of them come in our country and some of them already have preconceived notions about Black people and African Americans that was born and raised here. And not all the time, but it's a conflict because you do have some brown people, Black people here who have had interactions with people, brown people from other countries. And these brown people make them feel less than because they're from somewhere else. Like, I'm almost here to you, Negroes. And we can pick up on that. We can 100% pick up on that. And it's a difference between brown people from outside of the United States coming to the United States. Black people here in the United States will accept you being Black. Most of us do not care on the average. We do not care about your accent or any of that stuff. You black, I'm black. Hey, we on this boat together. Yes, there was a learning curve to learning our culture. But most of us are even open to learning your culture because we go, well, hey, this is a part of my history and my roots too. It's a connection. We're brown. We might not be the same type of brown, but it is a connection. So when you come in, you're dealing with people that have had these bad interactions with other brown people outside of the United States. So sometimes they got their walls up and shit like that. I'm like, no. Y'all have y'all, and a lot of black people just cut it off because they don't want to deal with it. And it's from hurt. It's from pain. It's from, like you say, y'all don't know our culture. And so, you know, you've taught this shit that white people have pushed and promoted, and they're going to push whiteness. They're not going to push Native Americans. They're not going to push indigenous, like, you're not going to learn that history because it's designed for you not to know. And it's one of those things where it doesn't benefit either party. It doesn't benefit the African Americans already here, and it doesn't benefit brown people outside of the United States that come in, and it causes a conflict that actually should not be there, because at the end of the day, when you turn around and look at white people, we're all niggers to them. We're all niggers to them. But it is subsections of people that I'll be like, I'm not black. I'm whatever my culture is. That's true, but you're still black. And like you said, you live here in America, and white people, they don't give a fuck what your native tongue is and where you came from. We're all lumped in this same group. And I understand you want to separate yourself from African Americans because you appreciate and you love your culture. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem for most of us comes in is when you look at your culture as my culture is better than yours because we didn't have to deal with the things here in America. Because some of the things here in America are sometimes for black people, it's unique to America only. You know, yes, there were slaves everywhere and stuff like that, but some things are unique to here. And I do think that, I agree, it needs to be taught. But also, on the flip side, black people here need to be taught about other cultures too. Like that's also the disadvantage of that white supremacy. We aren't taught about other brown cultures. We aren't taught that all slaves were dropped all up and down the coast and shit like that. And so we think of the slaves that got dropped off here in America. They got dropped off variation of other places too. And so a lot of it is lack of knowledge on both sides, conflict on both sides. White supremacy, it has its hands in all of this, in my opinion. So, like I said, my personal opinion, if you brown and you're here and you say you black or whatever your culture is, I accept you for who you are. As long as you don't shit on me and my culture, I don't have a problem with you.
Yeah, and especially that point about us not learning about other people's culture, because we harbor anti-blackness too.
Correct.
And it's sad because it's all white supremacy. And when you hear black Americans talk about what they think Africa is, what they think the island nations are, it's fucked up. I was one of those people. Like, I remember, I didn't know it because I had never thought about it, but I remember when I was a freshman in college, I was in the scholarship program, and so they put me in a suite that had like seven other people in it, and four of the people were from Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
And and I had never met anyone from Trinidad and Tobago before. I'd never even fucking met, I don't even know if I met somebody from Jamaica before. Like, this is all new to me, you know. Even as a black kid from the South living in Charlotte, like, I just didn't have those experiences. I don't think I knew anybody from Africa. Mm-mm. Before this. So I'm at this HBCU, and you know, I'm curious, and they're friends, and, you know, I don't do small talk, I only do medium talk, so we're just talking about shit, and I start asking them questions. You know, I said, you know, I don't want to be offensive, but is it okay if I ask you about it? I never even heard of this place until 5 minutes ago, or whatever, you know, and so just after we had become pretty good friends, we're sitting in the room talking, and I was like, so what is Trinidad and Tobago like? You know, and it's like, yo, it's cool, you know, we do this, we do that, and, you know, I'm learning the accent and the slang, you know, they say lime instead of chilling and shit like that. And I'm like, so y'all got, like, is it like third world? And they're like, what is third world, this concept, right? Like, because right. To you know, to America, it's like first world countries, second world, third world, like to us,
it's
but like
levels, right?
But like if you live somewhere, nigga, that's the world. Like that's
how you live.
Your shit is how it is, and that's how you get used to, and that's how it's supposed to be. And so I'm thinking of just like fucking all the infomercials I've seen on TV about give to these brown people.
Right.
Like, you know, all the negative, just ugly, ignorant, stupid stereotypes that you just literally as your privilege is that you don't know no better.
Correct.
Yeah, and you never been there. You never been nowhere. So you just don't know. And so we're having this conversation. I'm like, hey, man. So like, is it third world? It's like, what does that mean? What you mean third world? It's like here. I'm like, so y'all got like running water and shit. It was like they started laughing, like laughing hard, like what the fuck, like of course, nigga, like what?
Right.
Yes,
we
like,
got power,
right?
Buildings. What you think we live in huts?
Right. You know, and I sounded ignorant. You know, I'm asking,
right.
I'm like, you know, asking these questions. It's like, look, man, I'm telling you, it's just like here. And also, the other thing is, this before really the internet was like the internet. Like this is when we were still like downloading one picture of a big booty woman take 5 minutes. Okay.
Come on.
So it wasn't really readily of, I wasn't wikiing this shit. Mm-mm. I really was just relying on what they had to tell me. And you know, we talked for a while and you know, they, and not lucky for them and me, we were so funny. When you're funny people, humor is a language of its own.
Right.
And I've never been one to be, offended by getting roasted. So I got roasted for being stupid because I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. Now it was only them four niggas roasting me, but it was also funny because like I was actually asking questions that the other people in the suite wanted to ask. They just didn't know.
Right.
You know, and of course we started turning into running jokes and they're not all appropriate jokes. This is a before woke shit, but
right.
It's not, it wasn't like necessarily for the podcast type jokes, but it was a lot of jokes of like, you know, them making jokes about, you know, my dumb ass and, you know, yeah, oh, you thought we had flies on our mouths and shit, like, you know, all that stuff. But like that was kind of a cool moment because like I learned, but I also learned how ignorant I was and how much white supremacy had invaded my mind and made me think a place where brown and black people come from, it must be fucked up. Like y'all are here on scholarship because, you know, y'all need it and, you know, y'all just doing so bad. And they're like, no, nigga, I came from like a great house. I'm doing fine. I'm smart, which is why I got the goddamn scholarship in the first place.
Right.
And that was it, you know? And so, that's what your comment made me think about is that conversation is like, as much as they didn't know about my culture coming here, I didn't know shit about theirs. And none of us really has the right to judge each other off of that. And mm-hmm. I think, we all have to be made aware of how little we know of each other, but I wish and my hope, I don't think it'll happen because of the current age we're in, but I would hope that people can learn gently, especially amongst other black people. I hope it doesn't have to become like, cause I had the favor of learning gently at that time.
Right.
We were friends. We had already been hanging out. I didn't know shit. I've never been one to be proud of not knowing shit. So as soon as they put me up on game, I was like, okay, well, boom. I thank you for educating me. You didn't need to do that, but thank you. Sorry if I offended anybody. And they're like, I'm not offended because we friends and I know you enough to know you weren't coming in here to shit on us. Mm-mm. You know, and vice versa. Like that shit they didn't know about America. I still remember when we got pulled over by the cops one time, them niggas was in the car with me and they thought it was funny. Right.
That's their lack of understanding how America culture works.
The cop came over and pulled me over and asked me where we was going with all them people in the car and shit. I'm like, y'all shut the fuck up. I'm pulling my wallet out. I'm just, you know, I'm like getting ready for the fucking shit already.
Yeah.
And when the cop came over to the door, I still remember one of them in the background, like, in his accent, like, what's the problem, officer? Good evening. And I said, if y'all don't shut the fuck up.
Right, you gonna get us all shot.
Like, it's not funny. Like, it's not, like, what y'all think is funny is not funny. I am in fear of my fucking life. And y'all niggas should be too. Like, I know how shit's supposed to go. Y'all don't understand how it do go down here. So, you know, but that was their first time getting pulled over. They thought, oh, we getting pulled over in America. And then, they were talking about, like, in Trinidad, you know, they just ask you, like, you give them a couple dollars, they'll leave you alone. And shit. I'm like, that's not how it works there.
You can't pay it off, baby.
They just kill niggas. And it's not, it wouldn't be shit we could do. They could just take us to jail right now. It wouldn't be shit we could do.
Nope.
I'll be calling my mom from jail tonight, like, hey, I was doing 45 into 35 or some shit, you know? And I wasn't even speeding. I think, I can't remember what he pulled us over for. I think it was too many people in the car or something. But anyway, man, that's the shit that, you know, we talked about or whatever. And that's the cultural exchange of just being around different folks, man. You just hope that you get around some good folks and they're not, like, shitting on you for not knowing this stuff. So that's all. The HBCU thing, I mean, that was at a HBCU that all this happened. Like, I still was just as ignorant as a white person about their culture, because I'm raised in America and I just didn't know. You don't know until you have some experience.
Yes. And one thing about, I can truly say about my experience, is that I never knew how diverse black people were until I went to HBCU. Like, I know that might sound ignorant, but once you're in school and you grow up, you only grow up around people you know. Most people don't really do no major traveling or anything like that. Most children don't kind of hop around the country or go outside of the United States on the average. You have exceptions to that, but on the average, you don't. You're only born somewhere, raised somewhere, then you go off to school. And going off to school, I was like, oh, even in the state of North Carolina, I had never heard of anywhere called Scotland Neck, North Carolina. I was like, where the fuck is that? I've never heard of that place in my fucking life. You know, and so I realized, well, goddamn, the state of North Carolina is bigger than I thought. The world is bigger than I thought, you know, and there's all these types of brown people. And it's one of these things, once you understand that there's a diversity within the blackness itself, because even black people that come, or brown people that come from other countries, it's diversity in your culture too. So just like it's going to be diversity here in America, because like it's slang down south that you go up north, people don't understand what you're saying. You go even down, you go even further to Texas, people don't understand what you're saying out west. So, you know, it's diversity with, and that's, to me, that's what makes the culture so wonderful. And I wish more people would not look at the differences as a negative thing, but look at the difference as a positive thing. I always try to look at it as a learning experience. When you know, when you see people from different parts of the world that are brown, and when you see people from different parts of the country that are brown, I try to think of, what do we have in common?
Yeah. So, and like I said, hopefully you just get to learn generally instead of the shit that people are doing now, which is, you didn't know something, I'm gonna shit on you. All right, let's get to the emails. This is the last segment. Top notch, 5 stars. We got a review from Switzerland.
Switzerland?
Marie Jane says, love your show. I live in Switzerland and listen regularly. Love the diversity of issues discussed here. And every time I hear Karen say, come on, now that shit lifts my spirit. The original Black Heidi. Oh, thank you, Black Heidi.
Thank you.
All the way from Switzerland.
You be safe out there, baby.
Heart emoji and a brown peace sign.
Mm-hmm.
Our girl Jay, the impossible white man of the podcast, wrote in to say, I was scraping the bottom of the crates of podcasts towards the end of the week with none of my faves to get me through a 40-mile bike ride in the city today. But I refreshed the new premium passcode and loaded up. I listened to the little review, the medium talk on fraternities and sororities, and some pregame and balls deep. You guys got me through my 3-hour and 45-minute ride in the goddamn rain the whole time. Thanks, guys.
Oh, you more than welcome, dog. We be working hard. I don't think people understand. We be working hard.
Jay, one of my favorite people, man.
Come on. We do it just for you, baby.
Yeah. Like, I like to know that people are getting their money's worth. You know, we probably work a little too hard, to be honest, but I can't help myself.
Like, I'd rather work too hard than not hard enough.
I'm still black in America, y'all. I've been told to work too hard my whole life.
Right. I want y'all to get y'all money's worth. I want you to be like, "Ooh, good God, I'd never be able to listen to all this." That's okay.
Toy says, hey Rod and Karen, it's Toy again. I'm writing this to comment on the black man who was killed because he was denied a protective order. This does happen. Some people act like getting a restraining order is about just filing a report and leaving, and there's a lot that can go into it. I had to get a restraining order in Mecklenburg County in June 2017. A nonprofit that works with women who experience domestic violence to help me file the paperwork, because if the paperwork isn't filed out correctly, they will automatically throw it. Wow, throw it away. I sat in the courtroom waiting for my name to be called. The courtroom was filled with people trying to get a restraining order, and half of them were denied them because of the lack of real evidence. Luckily for me, I guess, I had my husband's arrest record. He had current warrants. The police report, I was obviously still bruised. Wow. And there was a recording of the 911 call of me screaming while he was beating me. For this reason, I wasn't denied. So you had to have all that evidence.
Right.
Yeah, there's so many people that, like, this person is dangerous, and I don't have that level of fucking... It's almost like I gotta almost let the nigga kill me so I could get some motherfucking evidence of them threatening to kill me. Holy shit. I was very thorough in my evidence, and I still got a temporary order for 2 weeks. They wanted me to keep coming back to renew it in 6 months, a year, etc. I never went back after the 2 week restraining order.
Wanted you to come back?
Yeah, because coming back to Charlotte only put me at more of a risk of being harmed by my ex again. I expressed this during my hearing, and the judge replied coldly that this is just a procedure. I left for GA a few days later. Sorry this is long. Love your show. Your Spotify listener, Toy. Wow. Yeah, that's
Has time to constantly keep coming back?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Those are the things that a lot of people don't know. If you've been privileged enough to not have to deal with that shit, then you don't even know, like, all the stuff people do. And that's why people so casually just throw out shit like, oh, well, just get a restraining order. It's not as simple as you think.
Mm-mm.
And even then, it's still just a piece of paper.
Right. If that person go fuck that paper, what you gonna do?
The majority of the people we see these articles about them killing somebody, it's been a restraining order out. It just, they don't care.
Sometimes several.
Our girl Caritha says, Dear Rod, I hope this message finds you well. I'm just dropping a quick note to thank you for the episodes of Damon Young and Kareem Taylor. Oh, this is for Medium Talk. Yes. Damon's book was already on my list, but your interview made me get it sooner. I appreciated how your conversation brought out his awareness of the credit he gets for saying certain things that women have long said. We can't suddenly not have certain privileges, but it's beautiful to see folks call attention to what their privilege often means and how illogical it is. Upon reading the book, I was most tickled by his talking about Michelle of Destiny's Child. Yeah, that was a great passage. He helped us imagine what it might be like to be all that in most situations until you're in Beyonce's orbit. Freaking hilarious, but also quite poignant. Yeah, the book is so funny. I think I speak funny, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's mm-hmm. my love language. So that's one of the reasons I just zoomed through that book. It's so funny. You just look up and you're like, did I just freaking read a book? What? Look at me. And then the other thing is, that conversation, the part about privilege and stuff, like, privilege doesn't have to be a bad word, man. We all got mm-hmm. it. We all got it on some level, you know?
We do, whether we know it or not.
Yeah, like, I know it's a little more comfortable for certain people to kind of wallow in just the, like, disadvantages they have. And there's, like, you know, there's some power in claiming that. There's some power in speaking to that. But there's also, like, people feel way less comfortable speaking to the privileges they have, you know, unless it's that, like, really performative, like, I'm a white person saying white people ain't shit. I'm a man saying men ain't shit. But that's such a simple, basic thing to say. I'm like, you know, I still remember when I said that tweet about black men, da 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 da. I'm getting harassed, but not rape threatened. Nobody was going to come kill me. Wasn't scared to leave my house. You know what I mean? And so there's a privilege even in me being harassed. There's just a different way it's happening to me, you know? Your conversation with Kareem Taylor was a serious gift. I had not been truly thinking about the chemicals and feminine care products and how much we owe to organizations like We Act for doing this work and making it easy for us to support them. I also love the way you made sure of the conversation was about, some of the conversation was about career opportunities in that sector. Exposure is often so much of the battle. I'm glad to have this more prominently on my radar as I mentor students. The Blackout Tips does it again. Good vibes, Caritha. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Oh, man, that's dope. Like, I love feedback on Medium Talk because, you know, I had these conversations, kind of just me and a person. It's almost never live, and it's kind of in a vacuum. Sometimes I put it on the field, sometimes on the feed, sometimes I don't. So, I, you know, people don't normally leave feedback for those shows that much, so I can never tell if they enjoy it or not. And I think also, I mean I've been bragging this whole time this episode, but I think I'm a really good interviewer.
You are.
Like, and I pride myself on it, and you know, I love doing it, you know. So, and I like to make it different than what other people would do. I like to get more out of people than other people get, you know, without it being some contrived, like, let me just ask you the question that's gonna make you cry type of shit. I like to have natural conversations that flow into you feeling like I kind of know this person at the end of the interview. And so anytime that, you know, we bring up something, or I bring up something that wasn't going to be brought up by other people, or get into a question or something that people wouldn't have expected, I love those moments, you know. All right, Trey says, hey Rod and Karen, just wanted to thank y'all for the great shows this week, and big thanks to Nick Jew for coming through for the Thrones recap. But I most importantly want to thank y'all for washing your asses properly, because there are some online folks who feel comfortable openly talking about not washing their asses properly from head to toe. This is unacceptable. Thank you for having some damn sense. LOL. Okay. Yeah, I saw the, I don't know if you seen this, Karen.
I missed the non-ass washing conversation.
I think it was, like some white person said they don't wash their legs or something like that on Twitter. And that gave everybody an opportunity to dunk on them, which is how the best type of tweets that go viral are just the ones where everyone gets to be like, you don't wash your legs. And so that was everybody. The only joke I had about it was, I wanted to just gonna make leg washers the new racial slur.
Oh,
I was, you know, I was working at IHOP the other day, and this table came in, and there was two leg washers, you know, so I didn't want to work that table. I just let another waiter there. He's also a leg washer. I went ahead and let him have the table. Like, that's the only thing I could get from it, was because I honestly got sick of everybody dunking on the fucking unclean woman. Like, it was like, you know what, dog? But seriously, the 13,000th person, we get it. You wash your legs like everyone else. It's logistically harder to not wash your legs in the shower than to just go ahead and wash them. Like, you have to make a purposeful decision. I am like, how do you just lean in from the side and leave your legs out? Like, it's harder. Just wash your legs. It's so, but if they didn't have done that, we wouldn't be able to dunk on them. So I guess glad they did that. But shout out to my fellow leg washers, or leg washers, as we say down here.
Washers.
But only we can say it. Game of Thrones. Got several Game of Thrones emails. I'll try to get through them, and this is it. Crystal says, one, the Hound, like, dude, you can't even wait to get some more. Two, Arya Ben says she ain't a lady. Three, Tormund, man, dude was crying. This is funny. Four, man, John ain't learned ish and keeping quiet. Back to dummy status. Yeah, it's funny. Why do people say John is stupid for doing shit like that? Like, the thing that bothers me is this thing where people are like, so suddenly John is stupid. No, we have thought all these niggas were stupid for a long time.
John died from making stupid decisions.
Yeah, and it ain't just John, by the way. Mm-hmm. All these niggas, for the most part, have done some wildly stupid shit. Because mm-hmm. It's a dangerous world, and all these decisions that aren't just like running in the woods and hiding are stupid. So I'm not mad at them. It's not like these people are real. They're just characters, you know? So that's it. It's just funny. And it's funny to point out, like, why would this nigga tell them, you know? I get why he told him, by the way, but I'm just saying, it's still funny. Come on. Danny going crazy. She ain't had no plan. Let's just go fight, lose another damn dragon. Six, Masandi, no. Do they not have the concept of burning folks up with them damn dragons? Yeah, they've done it before, but I don't know. They probably better off not trying to burn them people up with them dragons this time, because the whole wall got them spears on it. Iman says, Sydney Whitney Houston's broken hearts, where the broken hearts go when they find their way home, back to the open arms of a loved one that's waiting there. If somebody loves you, won't they always love you? No, Miss Sandy, I love that Jorah died last week and we didn't get nearly this much.
Nope.
I hope Jamie and Arya shank your ass, Cersei. All I could think about was who was going to die in the upcoming battles. Did not see this coming. This episode should have just been called Broken Hearts. Gendry, Tormund, Brienne, Jaime, Grey Worm, Jon, Tyrion, Dany, Varys, the audience. The only thing I didn't like about this episode is how folks are trying to make Dany look like she crazy. And then Varys tried it with Tyrion, and I was like, oh, hell's no, bitch. That's why you're going to die, Varys. It's not that some characters aren't making good points about how Dany should be more patient or calculating, but they all seem like they're waiting for her to go off the deep end like her dad. John is a pushover, and I don't think he'd make a better ruler than her, at least not by himself. Hope this wasn't too long. I'm gonna go and nurse my broken heart. Come here, Grey Worm. You can cry on my bosom. Oh, he's gonna die fighting, crying. It would actually be really sad if he lived through all of this without Missandei. Love y'all. Yeah, I don't know what would be worse, him living through it or dying. He don't got his girl no more. Allegra says, hey, you two. A woman has many thoughts, but will spare them, save one. If Benioff and Weiss are trying to give us Littlefinger 2.0 with a dash of Cersei in Sansa, I'm intrigued, but I'm going to need them to talk to some women writers to provide me with something a bit more believable. Though Sophie Turner is acting, I'm slightly annoyed that for her to be as smart as we are told she is displaying some missteps. The first being keeping your insecurities and jealousy close to your chest. Thanks for the great coverage, Allegra. Yeah, it's such a weird thing, right? Because for a TV show, obviously we need to, she needs to communicate that she does not trust Danny, or else what the fuck is the per? If not, then she's just sitting there in the blank slate in every meeting and all this shit. But at the same time, as an actress or whatever, you got to make it so overtly like, I'm clocking the T on this motherfucker every scene, that we at home get it without them having to tell us, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's such a weird line, because how do you fucking write that or direct that out of a person without it having, looking like it is, which is a bunch of like kind of side eyes and weird, you know, like eye contact and staring off, like. But yeah, you know, they don't got all day to do this shit no more. So Furious Style says, hey, Ryder Care. Oh my god, this is one big block of text. Oh my fucking god, dude.
They didn't enter or space or anything.
Where are my punctuations, boo? Oh baby, I need some spaces in these paragraphs, homie. Oh man, all right, I'm gonna try to do this. After watching episode 4 of Game of Thrones, things are coming clear that Sansa will end up taking the Iron Throne. Oh, it's storming too outside. Great. Before I get into that, can we agree that after the savageness of what Cersei did to Missandei, the MO is fuck King's Landing as a staff, record label, and crew, and if you want to be down with King's Landing, Jaime Lannister, then fuck you too. Oh yeah, I think we all agree. Although Jaime might be going there to kill Cersei.
I think he is.
Danny walked off looking like my Drago, make sure all your kids don't grow. My Draco, make sure all your kids don't go. Yeah. And speaking of looks, did you see Grey Worm's face? He tried to hold it together, but I was like, he gonna cry when he get back to the ship. He was. He should have ran off. He kind of looked like DJ Pooh. He should have ran off. Backing up a little.
Not my baby!
Backing up a little. Was it me, or did you see your boy Gendry playing Drake's Best I Ever Had, thinking about that assassination Arya put on him? When Danny told him he could have stormed in, Gendry was so unfazed that he was still looking around like he was waiting to hear Arya say, on your left. Rod, I finally agree with you that Jon Snow is too dumb and naive to rule. I'm just saying, he just needs some advisors around him, you know. That's what's so funny. Everybody's like talking about who can't rule. I feel like all of them can rule. Like, I think the show has done something that kind of mirrors 2016, which is everybody better than Cersei.
Anybody.
So for me, I don't have to do a team anything. If I don't give a fuck how the deaths happen, team whoever's living, please come kill Cersei. Just not Cersei. Not only that, as much as the show tries to convince us that he's the most honorable choice, John, like Ned Stark, always feels obligated to something. When he was with Ygritte, he felt obligated to the Night Watch. When the Wildlings killed Ollie's parents, he felt obligated to him. And when he was made king of the north to save Winterfell, John felt obligated to Ben and Nita Daenerys. This nigga had more obligations than a student paying back Sally Mae. John just wants to live in unnecessary misery. Danny told him, look, we could keep this incest thing going if you shut the hell up. John gave her a look like, bitch, you must not know. If it is some truth to be told that's going to fuck everything up, then John Kashi 6ix9ine got to be snitching. He revealed the secret so fast, the signs that Arya, I thought my DVR had jump skipped between the scenes. I'm not going to recap the show, but back to Sansa being the one who sits on the throne. The writers have been misdirecting us, making Sansa appear the weakest amongst all the powerhouses. In this episode, I saw Sansa pimp Littlefinger sending those girls to Tormund and the Hound, spill the whole tea about Jon and Tyrion, and make it plain that she just don't like that bitch Danny. Sansa is ready to G up. She told that the Hound that even after Joffrey, Littlefinger, and Ramsay, I'm still here. I'm still standing. Finally, can we get a little gangster lean from Asandi in her last words? Rikaris, I don't speak Dothraki, but I know she said, fuck these racist motherfuckers, burn this whole shit down. Until the next episode, love y'all 3000. Yeah, you know, one thing I was thinking, though, it would be the biggest swerve possible, I think, for the finale would be Sansa having plotted all this shit to get on the throne. Like, plotting, like, snitching on where Danny's gonna be, all that type of shit. Because it would be so cold-blooded and calculating, but you would have to be, like, you'd have to take your hat off to the fact that she was able to do all that shit. I don't think that's what's gonna happen, but if it did, that swerve would be pretty fucking like, oh man, y'all
I'd be
just
like, I'd be like, well, she learned from the best.
Yeah, I'd be like, y'all kaiser so sad, everybody, because no one would have seen that shit coming. Monique says, Roddy Karen, oh my god, I feel sick, fucking destroyed. Hope everyone who was clamoring for more death is happy now. Masandi deserved the world, and yet she is with her, here she is with her head cut off because Danny couldn't wait a couple days or weeks to recoup and strategize. I thought for a moment Missandei, Grey Worm, and the Unsullied were selling off to the fictitious island of Nath, because let's face it, where the hell is Nath? Damn these motherfuckers, man. Yet another Titan person of color just gone. Don't get it. What the fuck was the plan? Oh, I know, to think Euron and Qyburn was on some play shit. Danny, queen of the squandered bags, running off half cock, blowing a 3-0 dragon lead. All those scorpions blew that dragon right out of the damn sky. Luckily, John cuts his losses with Rhaegal and chose a horse. Yeah, man, imagine he would have been riding that shit. I guess, she doesn't even deserve the throne at this point. She knew how shitty the niggas at King's Landing were. She wouldn't want that chair anyhow. She doesn't have the north. I don't understand the point of having rules to the parlay they had. Just kill the other dragon with the scorpions at the parlay if y'all are gully. Well, she didn't bring that dragon. I didn't see it.
Mm-mm.
Cersei plays by her own rules or to just end the war right there and saunter off. I mean, they beheaded a valuable hostage, so why not just end the whole thing? Why play fair here? The plot point felt fumbled to me. I mean, I do wonder why she didn't just shoot them niggas up from the tower or whatever. I mean, maybe there's a reason for it,
right?
But at the same time, I mean, let's keep it real, I don't want to see that shit either. Like, you know, sometimes people suggest shit like, why didn't they do this? It's like, because it would have made a whack show and nobody want to see that with two episodes left,
right?
Yeah, and then Daenerys got shot by arrows. Oh, okay, well, cool. But yeah, I didn't see the dragon within shooting distance or whatever. Maybe I missed it. Someone in the chat room said it was there. So I must have missed it. I don't know.
It was in the background.
So. It wasn't with the Unsullied and shit though, right? Like, they had that regiment of Unsullied, Danny, Grey Worm, Tyrion at the front. So I must have missed. Yeah. Oh, it was at the back.
Yeah, I about to say, if it was there, it was way in the back.
Okay, so he was out of shooting range and shit. I mean,
yes.
You gotta, I mean, you kinda have to, man. You see them fucking, them cannons? Like, can't have that nigga just chilling within shooting range, dawg. I get it. There was a stark difference between the team of tacticians, Danny and Cersei and crew, the weaponry and preparedness of Euron versus the bubbling idiocy of Tyrion and the fuck around gang. Oh man, it's breathtaking to me. Euron coming to play for keys with the sneaky attack near Dragonstone, although I don't know how they didn't sniff that out, but okay. Side note, they party hard at Winterfell. Oh man, this is long. Hold on, let me scroll down. Give me a second. With John and his lineage, let's face it, Danny is right. No matter what happens, the minute people in the north know that he has a claim, they'll clamor for him to sit on the throne, pay her utter dust the way they did after the battle. The dissension amongst Danny's disloyal council and John telling the family his family is the definition of mess. And of course, Sansa wasn't gonna hold that water. Why would she? Smart tactical move on her part, but fuck her for doing it. Jaime is about to run tell that they truly hate prosperity and Ned's kids to the bone. Sansa is low-key a bigger snitch than Bubbles from The Wire at this point. She definitely didn't inherit Ned's integrity. All little figure schemes. I'm gonna tell you what though, Sansa's smarter than Ned, Because Ned would have kept that secret like he did with John's birth, and look at how that shit ended up.
Oh, yeah, he died.
Like, sometimes you gotta be like, listen, this shit better. Like she said, what if, she didn't want to tell Tyrion, but she said, man, what if it's somebody better? Like, I can't let these motherfuckers go to King's Landing and put this crazy motherfucker on the throne. Let's see, all Littlefinger schemes, the utter incompetence of the battle plan, losses upon losses. I'm tired of this shit. I'm about to start rooting for the winning team. These niggas got two episodes to tighten their shit up and fly right. Cersei might get a clean sweep. Just bad news bears. All this is a tall ass task. The trust people put in Jamie, peak bitch assness, man. Just like I thought it took less than 45 minutes for Jamie to go back to Cersei after posing his way into Brienne's life. What a fuckboy move. There isn't even a place for him anymore in King's Landing. Good luck with your bitch ass. Yeah, I wonder if Euron might fuck him up.
You never know.
I don't know. Anyway, how is he even gonna get in the gate? All right, whatever.
No!
Cersei not a monster. Tyrion, really? She blew up half the city and his hoarded people. Like, yeah, he said she not a monster. I'm like, don't he know about the Sept?
I mean, y'all walked up on some shit where it used to be buildings and shit out there. It looked like a fucking desert.
Yeah. She blew up half the city and is hoarding the people of King's Landing in the inner gates, so you'll have to mow them down to get to her. Cersei could have just gave the hand signal to the fire arrows. Every time I see him, and I'm reminded of the losses Danny keeps taking because he thinks his sister has a drop of good in her. Get the fuck out of here. At this point, I want to see a tactical, strategic, and not just Mad Queen Dany. There's no place for morality effing with Cersei, Qyburn, Euron, and the Mountain. Scorch that entire shit and them flea bottom people. I'm sorry. Ride for Missandei of Nath. She was a rider when you had no one. She was a little extension of Dany in every terrain, every MLK Boulevard. Rest in peace to a real one. Dany has so many shitty right hands throughout the season, and some even double crossed her. Missandei was the best of them. Natalie Emmanuel, we speak to your name. She truly did amazing work, and I'm hopeful to see her in the leading role sometime soon. All this shit I talked, and yet I still love this episode. Yeah, that's the part that gets me. Like, people, I mean, first of all, I didn't find your thing to be as negative as most people shit.
Right.
But I think it's just because I can't relate. It's just a mentality I have. If I had that much shit to shit on an episode or something, I just would stop. I can't help myself.
Yeah, like I said, I don't. If I'm watching something and I truly don't enjoy it, I literally tap out.
Yeah. Somebody said Drogon was still in range of the scorpions. Was he? I'm just asking. I guess I don't know how far they would shoot.
Cersei would have shot.
Yeah. All that shit I talked, and we knew Cersei was capable of, but Tyrion was still incapable of comprehending. What the fuck? People's lives on the fucking line. Stop drinking and figure it the fuck out in the next two episodes. Well, this was angry. Scratch his head. Ha ha. OL. Great show. We'll do that to you. Y'all be safe and sound. Monique Kim Doc.
Thank you.
I got a couple more to go. EVE writes in. Hi, Rod and Karen. So Game of Thrones has ripped my heart out and said, fuck your feelings. Arya fucked Gendry so good. Not only did he want to take her ass to Red Lobster, he wanted to marry her. But Arya not about that life. I felt bad for him, but he's going to have to charge it to the game. Arya's looking for revenge. As for Brienne, as much as I like her, she should have known better. Jaime ain't shit. He never been shit. It ain't going to be shit. It was a pity fuck. Nothing more, nothing less. She deserves better.
I don't think he cared.
I'm kind of hoping, okay,
about her, but I think that relationship with his sister is stronger.
Yeah, so if a nigga about to go home and fuck his sister, I'm gonna mark him in the don't care enough category. But that's just me. I know that's controversial. I'm kind of hoping Brienne and Gendry,
and I don't think he's gonna fuck her. I think he's gonna kill her.
Well, he didn't tell her that.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Right, I understand then. He presented it to her a different way.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He broke her heart. Even if she found out he went back and killed Cersei later, she's still going to be like, this nigga told me he ain't shit, and he is a bad person, and not to believe in him. And Gendry can find solace in each other, although Brienne isn't looking to be anyone's lady either. Brienne had a real one in Tormund, but she squandered her chance for that sister fucking dirty dick Jaime. That's kind of what you get, sis. Yeah, I mean, the thing for me is just that
her and Toy Mom wouldn't work that either.
Huh?
I'd say I don't think her and Toy Mom would have made it.
I can't say that. I think they might have, who knows, but my whole point is her fantasy time was to fuck Jamie. She wanted to fuck right. Jamie, and most people don't even get that for their first time, so congratulations. Oh, Danny, you should have listened to Sansa, but I hope you wanted to go all guns a-blazing, and but nope, you wanted to go all guns a-blazing, and you lost another dragon. And Missandei, that was a devastating loss, but I knew her and Grey Worm weren't going to make it to their beach home in Florida. When people start making plans before the war, they're as good as dead. Recipes, Missandei and Rhaegal. John did go so dirty, I'm side-eyeing him for that shit. It must be the fact that I don't own pets that did not bother me even a little bit.
Me either.
I was like, yes, stay your ass in the north where you supposed to be. John ain't going nothing but going down there to possibly get killed anyway.
Right,
so.
And you're ill fucked up and everything. You don't need to be going with me.
Right. I still like Sansa, but she is shady as fuck. She makes that promise to John and then runs to tell someone, although John was kind of shady too for telling Sansa and Arya. That's the other thing. I can't believe she told him. I can't believe he told them. Everybody was telling people to shut the fuck up. If he really didn't want that throne, he would have kept it to himself. I think a part of him really does want that throne, and I think Danny kind of knows it too. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up killing her because she's about to burn shit down, and I'm here for it. Burn all of King's Landing. Some may ask, what about the people outside the Red Keep? To that, I say fuck those people. Those are the same fickle motherfuckers that threw doo-doo on Cersei, but now they're all supposedly loyal to her. I know it's mainly out of fear, but so what? They can burn. I like that you picked the doo-doo on Cersei part as opposed to the cheering for Ned Stark and
no cheer for his death.
All that other shit. Like them some abused people.
Yes, they are.
Like Joffrey was the leader for a while. Like shit. I know they fucked up. Team Stark and Targaryen might took so many L's so far this season besides defeating the Night King. It's time for them to win. Although I think a lot more people will die in the next episode. Hopefully among those people will be Euron and Jaime. Die, Jaime, die, Eve. Oh, you're how I made the list this time.
Mm.
All right, let's see what else we got here. Three more. Stephanie writes in, good Mary Bubala. Good morning, Lord and Lady of House Tips. I bring you greetings from House Minutes of Mocha Owls. I'm currently listening to episode 1894, and I'm at the part where you were discussing Mary Bubala's firing. Now, the night before her firing, I was discussing what she said with my mother. We were in Baltimore. We in Baltimore are used to Mary Bubala. She has been on the air for 15 years, so as the kids would say, she isn't new to this. She is a polished journalist. She should know better. She can't be that obtuse to think that her questions was okay, but here we are. My mother and I came to the same conclusion. She was way outside her scope to pose a question, and fun fact, she posed it to a black woman. Mary put way too much dip on the chip. And she was out of line with that question, period. When she did her notes app apology, I thought that would be the end of it. However, I was wrong and she was fired. Now, as a blue of a state as Maryland is, people think that racism is magically not a big deal here. I know we are right under the Mason-Dixon line, but we are still the South. It's here, but racism is everywhere, so there's a moot point. That is a moot point. When it comes to things like this, I steer clear of the local Facebook pages of the newspapers and news channel because white people show their entire asses in the comment section. You should see the comments under the story detailing her firing on the Baltimore Sun Facebook post. But we are talking about white people, so of course they were not happy about that and pledging to never watch the news station again. The interesting part, black men were doing the same thing. We all know the Venn diagram between black men and white women, so it's not surprising, but it still doesn't mean it isn't disappointing. Yep. To watch people question if black female leadership is a problem in Baltimore City is laughable, considering the black women are the cornerstone to the Democratic Party and instrumental to any candidate's success. To watch the discussion on this just reinforces the notion that black women are the mules of the caravan but can never be seen as the drivers. Fucking ridiculous. What is dead may never die, Steph. Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you.
And my bad for putting that in the Game of Thrones. But when you started with House Tips and ended with What's Dead May Never Die, I was like, okay, this must be for that. So my bad. Lauren says, hey Rod and Karen, this Danny versus Cersei war is making me mad. Both sides are too dumb. Danny's errors are obvious. She's too hasty. Won't take advice, but Cersei is fucking up as well. Cersei, if she was smart, would have sent an army with Jaime. The beat up being worn since season 1, Dragonburn Lannister army. Let them fight the whites, and then if they lose, bring in the Golden Company to hold the rest of the kingdom. If they win, bring in the Golden Company to take Winterfell while it's still broken. Yeah, the problem was that Jaime not cool with that shit. So
that's why he left in the first place.
She would have to bring the army and had the army kill Jaime to betray him or whatever. Not that she's incapable of that.
But she's like, I'd rather just send Bronn.
Yeah, but she should have did that shit. I wonder if she's gonna be shocked when she see Jaime and Tyrion still alive. She should have been shocked when she saw Tyrion. Like, nigga, what you doing alive? I think GRRM will do it better, but I'm not sure if either of us will grow old enough to find out. Yeah, we'll see. I don't read them books.
Yeah, she might be shocked, and she might be looking like, oh, Bronn's dead, nigga.
Yeah. And I don't read them books, so I'm not, we won't see anything. No, I'm never going to read the Game of Thrones book. Mm-hmm. Just letting y'all know.
Mm-mm.
Last one, feedback email for the week of May 5th. Oh, I think this could have been, oh, some of it is in Game of Thrones. Okay. Dear Ryder Karen, I've been listening to your show for about a year and some change, and I'm finally sending feedback email. First of all, I love your show. I originally found you guys when I was trying to find a new black podcast, and your podcast came right up. You both have such a great viewpoints on current topics, and I love hearing your thoughts and playing along with the games. Now onto your thoughts. Game of Thrones. Whew. I started watching the show back in season 3 because a coworker compared our job to Game of Thrones and kept calling our coworkers by Game of Thrones characters. I started watching, and well, needless to say, she was right. Thank goodness I no longer work there. Yeah, I would not want to work there.
No!
Rod, I agree with you that at this point, I don't really care who sits on the throne anymore, and pretty much everyone can go. It seems like the writers are trying to make Dany into the Mad Queen when she has legit reasons to be upset. Jon is so noble, is too noble. Cersei is the real Mad Queen, the list goes on. I used to stand for Tyrion and wanted him to make it to the end, but the fact that he keeps trying to find the good in Cersei is working my last nerve. Cersei don't like you. She tried to and or succeeded in killing some of your past girlfriends, Roz and Shay. She had a price on your head when you escaped King's Landing and had bounty hunters killing imps and checking the heads to see if it was yours. She tried to put you up for killing Joffrey. The list goes on. Let it go. When Dany fires you on Sunday because you tried to negotiate with Cersei and Missandei died, I won't feel bad for you at all. Stop trying to save Cersei. Don't save her. She don't want to be saved. And in terms of Jon's parentage, Varys Hilton is right. 8 people is no longer a secret. This is like when the rumor started that Cersei's kids weren't with Rob Baratheon and they were Jaime's. Everyone will find out about Jon sooner or later. And why were Varys and Tyrion talking about treason so loud in the echoing throne room? I know someone could hear them. While I get that why John had to tell his siblings, I couldn't keep something like that from my siblings. True. He should have known that the secret would get out, but maybe that's what he wanted. Guess we'll find out next week. Lastly,
and he chose to tell them, but how could he have guaranteed that Samuel and
Bran
would have kept
he couldn't secret. Guarantee him, but he could have sworn on secrecy as Danny asked and hoped that their honor would enable them to do that. I mean, even in that situation, Bran said it's up to you, John, you know, but he did say it at the most weirdest fucking time where he really had to say it. Lastly, Arya and Sansa pulling John aside after he publicly sided with Danny in the war meeting was so me. I'm the queen of declaring a sibling meeting in my family. Oh, and Bronn, where is the security in Winterfell? How do these people keep walking in? Y'all don't have anyone at the gates. Jaime snuck in. Bronn and Arya, when she came back home, I just saw. Also,
everybody was partying, even the police. They was like, security, fucking security.
Well, Jaime came in before the parties. Also, the fact that Brienne outside in a house coat with Mary J. Blige in the background begging for Jaime to stay. But I digress. Overall, love the show. Keep doing what you do. Sincerely, Nicole Esk. Please say the Esk. I worked so hard for it. Okay, Esquire. I see you. Nothing wrong with that. That's the last Game of Thrones email, which should mean it's the last email. All right, this has been a long feedback show. Lots to talk about. Game of Thrones. Some controversial topics this week. Aisha Curry. Mm-hmm. I'm dragging the show down, grinding it to a halt, talking about social media. I don't know, guys. I think what we do is pretty dope. I appreciate everybody for listening. And we'll be back tomorrow for Mother's Day with my mom as the annual mom show of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk to you guys then. Thank you for everybody who took the time out to write in. And
yes, thank you to everybody.
And all that stuff, man. You know, I got a little bummed out this week with some of the feedback and the divisiveness online between all these topics. I mean,
yeah, it could be a lot if you look at it as a whole, not just the feedback, but just as a whole and people online and the way people are interacting. Yes.
And I think when Game of Thrones is done, we'll probably take a break, because I think it's just about that time where you just, at least for me, I'm seeing so much online, you're getting so much interaction, you're having so much back and forth, and I don't mean fighting and stuff, but mm-hmm. just interaction. And at some point you have to, like, you know, take a break for yourself. And in the background of this, you know, we've been doing business shit all the beginning of the year.
We have.
Like, it's just been a lot of work, and while I love what we do, you know, it's important to take care of yourself. So probably in a couple of weeks we'll take some time off and just relax, man. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.